right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. It's the crossover show because we're also streaming to Football on the No Show, so we have both shows all of us tonight, so you guys get double the fun, double the amount of know-it-all and Blitz Boy Nation going on here. So I am Jimmy Fickniffy, that's right, and there he is, the man, Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back for another NFL-packed show for you guys for this week. We are brought to you by one other than the Grumblings Media people have been amazing. You can find us on their website, grumblingsmedia.com, and a bunch of other podcasts like sports, entertainment, political, anything of that nature. You're going to also help us out a little bit. Head over to YouTube for us. Hit that subscribe button. We also have the QR code right above me that you can kind of just scan and head jump right over there. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. It really does help out the channel a lot, and we are growing exponentially, especially on Grumblings Media, and we are still continue growing over on Football on the No Show as well. Also, you can take us on the go with you and stay in connection with the NFL. That's right. Tap right in on the NFL Pulse. Bring us along with you anywhere you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Joe. So it's been another crazy week in the NFL. Upsets galore all around, and more injuries on top of stuff, too. But I guess the latest news that everybody's talking about here and the news that has dropped is the Davante Adams news right now. Yes. And it's funny, when you talk about this, anybody that watched that wide receiver show, you kind of saw this in the backstage. You knew it last season. You know, you heard grumblings of what was going on. He was upset clearly on the sidelines, stuff like that. But, you know the clips. You watch the show. You see him where he said, listen, I'm going to kill myself if I stay here or something like that and things. But then he through it all, is kind of voiced his opinion saying, hey, listen, no, I'm cool, though. We're good. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not going anywhere. And now, you know, the rough start with the inconsistent quarterback play. Now you're hearing that he requests a trade.
Yeah, and that's really the bottom line is what happened this season. Last season, everybody over-exaggerated everything. Adams was never going to leave last season. Let's face it, as much as the media out there was portraying that and trying to get that to really catch, you know, smoke to catch on the fire there and try to really blow up that whole spotlight on Adams. It wasn't going to happen last season. He didn't want to go anywhere last season. He wanted to see what the direction was going to be had for the Raiders this upcoming season. And that's really why he stayed around, is because he thought that the team had the makings of an early stage team that could compete possibly in the near future for the playoffs. And they were that team when Adams originally got there with Derek Carr, with Hunter Renfrow was there for a brief moment, but. Mm-hmm. But like there was players in place like Josh Jacobs, and the defense was starting to come around, but it wasn't a finished product. So that team right there was playoff caliber. That was a competitive team. Then they dismantled the team, and fast forward a couple of years later, you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a good running back. Now Adams is stuck in purgatory in a sense of like, hey, I'm waiting to see what you guys had planned. You guys told me you had a game plan. You guys told me that things were going to get better after Derek Carr, after Josh Jacobs. You didn't keep Jacobs. Now you not only don't have a weapon in the backfield, but you still don't have an answer at quarterback. Last season, Aiden O'Connell showed glimpses of being that guy for the Raiders into the season. Unfortunately for the new front office with Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce as a new head coach, they decided for some reason that Gardner Minshew is going to give them a better chance to win games. I didn't buy it then, still not buying it now, and it's showing you right now, week to week, that Minshew continues to struggle. The team is struggling because of that, and now Adams is fed up. It's that simple. He's like, listen, if Gardner Minshew was your choice to take us to the promised land or at least make the playoffs, I've seen enough. It's only been a few weeks into the season. I'm done. Our offense is spitting and sputtering. We're not being able to put up points. Like, okay, you can make the argument, oh, well, what happened in week two against Baltimore? They put up 20-plus points. Yeah, great. 1 week of any kind of production? It's too little too late now, and Davante Adams is now looking to transfer to another team and hopefully it's a contending team. Because the interesting part about all this is that Adams has now, obviously Adams officially has requested a trade, but he doesn't have a no trade clause. So the Raiders are not limited to just saying, doing whatever he wants. We all heard, like, there's a couple of the teams, obviously, because he's familiar with the quarterbacks, the Saints with Derek Carr, the Jets with Aaron Rodgers. That he would prefer to go to the Jets, but that doesn't mean that's where he's going to end up at the very end of this, because the Raiders are in control of his trade destination, not Adams. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Raiders go about this. And obviously we've heard the rumors out there of trade compensation that they're looking to acquire. And you also have Adams wanting to go to the Jets. And if he can't go to the Jets, maybe New Orleans. But honestly, I think the Raiders need to do what's best for the Raiders at this point. You can't just say, oh, we want to be nice to Adams because he was good to us. We're going to send you to the Jets for whatever they give us. Mm-hmm. No, it should be get the most value you can for Adams, regardless of destination.
Right, right. And from what we're hearing is, you know, a second rounder plus. And when you look at somebody of a Davante Adams caliber, but then they want to try and sprinkle in, you know, he's getting older, you know, and kind of average it to what maybe something that was similar before, maybe back when I think it was it Atlanta that traded Julio Jones at the time, and people were wondering what, you know, value that would have been. And I think they end up getting a second round and swapped a fourth and a sixth, I think, or so for that trade.
Something like that,
something
yeah.
comparable to that, possibly, you know, or and what team would it be? Because, you know, we know that there's other teams that have a lot of money in the cap still, but right. do they really need a guy to get over to the top here like this guy? I'm not sure everybody wants a guy like this, mm-hmm. but what are they going to give up to make that move?
Right.
And then even if you're in lower in the cap space, we know that guys still make the trade and then they, you know, change, you know, the contract up and negotiate and make it work still. So,
yeah, and that's the two ways to go about it. Like, mm-hmm. Here's the thing is no matter what happens, the contract that he currently has, the team has to be able to take on the money, the guaranteed money that he still is going to be incurred right now this year. If they trade him, that whatever team that trades for him, they definitely have to have just under $8 million for his prorated bonuses that are every season. Like that's mm-hmm. going to come into account. Also, they're going to have to pay the last bit of his guaranteed money, which is around $15, $16 million that he's going to be – that the team is going to have to incur right away when they trade for him. Now, you're right in the fact that they could redo his contract altogether after they trade him, which is – I definitely not only think it's a possibility, but I think it's a certainty that whatever team does trade for him is going to have to agree to a new deal. Now, what does that mean for Adams, who's at the tail end of his career at 32 years old? How much longer does he plan on playing? Is he going to play till he's 34? Is he going to stop after next season? So those are hurdles that teams and Adams both have to kind of try to get over. But does that mean more money? Like, because he's already being paid just under $17 million this year in totality. Mm-hmm. But then the last 2 years of his deal, they skyrocket up to $35
million. Yeah, yeah.
So a team's not going to pay that for a 33-year-old wide receiver. So mm-hmm. the renegotiating of a contract is a necessity for whoever. But then on the other part of that, not only does the financial burden come into effect, but also – compensation that we're talking about, what the Raiders are seeking. A lot of people are saying second round in change. A lot of people might be saying second round in a player. Raiders traded for him 2 years ago. They gave up a first and a third round pick to acquire his services, and that was when he was 30 years old. So they had him for 2 years. That was in his. He's still kind of. It's amazing that at 32 years old, he's still playing like he's 25. It's insane. Mm-hmm. But at what point do you think he's going to regress? At what point do you think you can afford? And what kind of trade compensation are we really looking at? Because if you're the Raiders, you give up a first and a third 2 years ago. I understand that's 2 years ago, but don't you want to at least try to get a team up to a first round pick? And if so, that might mean that you maybe eat some of the contract in order to get that first round pick.
Right.
So I think that would be a target that the Raiders would love to acquire, at least just one first rounder and be done with it. But if they can't get to that point and the contract is going to end up going over to the other team, then you take whatever you can get, a second and extra change. Mm-hmm. There's been rumors about them taking a second round pick and a few mid round picks after that. I think that would be more of the realm of possibility. Getting that first round pick, I feel like will be harder to do, but if you're willing to eat some of this contract, I think it's attainable. So I think for the Raiders in general, you have to go for the best compensation that's going to be offered by whoever it is.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When you look at this and who has that to offer, what's it going to be? And like you said also, why not come out with a first? Hey, we're asking a first right now. And then when people say, well, we can't do that, then you say, hey, listen, we'll take care of some of the contract too. What if we do some of this and blah, blah. Then open the door to that. You know what I mean? Because that's what you ultimately want. Because when you look at this trade, and like I said, the closest thing to comparison would have been Julio Jones. But if I put the two guys together, I'm taking Davante Adams all day over Julio Jones. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying the value has to be better than whatever that trade is. And like you said, if you get two mids, like if you're talking second and then a fourth and a fifth or something like that, or even a second, third, fourth, I think is legit. You know, especially if you're one of those teams that is, you really are truly a contender. And with the injuries that we have at wide receivers right now, some of these teams lacking, is the guy that's going to push you over the edge. We've seen teams go all in like this, and it's worth it, whether you lose out on some of the picks down the long run, stuff like that, just to get you there. And you talk about restructuring the contract. Like you said, the last two are you know, massive or something like that. If you restructure that and then you put it all bulk on this 1 year or this next year or so, say, hey, we're paying you all this guaranteed up front, and the last, we'll say make it a 3 year deal, but the last 2 years are void years, to where you can just say, hey, you could walk away after this or whatever you want to do, because you know that would work. And we've heard him talk about this. He's talking already that he is in the back nine, that he is on his way out. He wants to win before he goes. So I would not be worried or even I wouldn't be surprised that if he goes for a team, or if the Raiders happen to put him in that position to be on a team that's a contender and he wins a Super Bowl ring, that he would be content with walking away after this, unless he truly feels like the team can run it back again. But I don't think he's going to jerk around with that much time and his time to say, hey, I'm not doing this dog and pony show anymore, and I got my championship. It's what I wanted. I'm cool with just walking away, which I think he is.
Well, here's the thing, too, is it's not up to Devontae. Like, obviously, he wants to go to a contender. But, again, I'm going to say it again. Raiders are going to do what's in the best needs of them now, because he has no trade clause in his deal. He doesn't have any leverage. Now, you want to request a trade? Okay, fine. We'll facilitate that for you. Being that you're 32 years old, being that next year, honestly, we're not going to be able to – we don't want to pay $35 million for a wide receiver that's going to be 33 years old. So even as great as Devontae is right now, I think that the value will never be higher to trade him now. And for the teams that may be involved, we've heard numerous amount of teams, and the list is growing too. That's the crazy thing is, like, since this news broke, you're hearing more and more teams get on the phones, talking to the Raiders. What's it looking like? What can we do? What are you guys looking for? But there's definitely a couple of teams we can write off right now. Let's write off the Cowboys. I know that was one team that people are like, oh, Cowboys can bring. You're not going to be able to afford him. You just you couldn't afford to sign a running back, for God's sakes, this last offseason. What makes you think you're going to be able to bring in Davante Adams, even if it is a second-round pick and change or whatever? Like, you can't afford next year. You're not going to be able to afford him. You already got to worry about Deron Bland. You got to worry about several other players. Micah Parsons wants his new deal. Like, there's a lot of them. So, Cowboys, let's take them off the list. Yes, they got they're under $23 million right. in cap space. Okay, cool. Could they do the trade? Sure. But it's almost like the 1 year rental then at that point, because they're going to look to restructure his deal to a point where they might be able to move on from him after this season. So Cowboys definitely got to be out of it. The Jets, they're a team that everybody keeps pointing to, and obviously Adams would love to go there. Now, currently, they have $16 million in cap space. That's not enough. They're going to need more. Now, are they going to start working on renegotiating deals? Not until they know for a fact that they're going to get them. So, I mean, that's another thing to look at, too. Like, yeah, obviously the Jets were super interested. Obviously, Rodgers would love to have Devontae there, and so wouldn't Jet fans. But they got to make some moves there too. So I think it's a realistic option, but some things have to work in the Jets' favor in terms of finances in order for them to pull this off. And then what are they offering? And the other team
let me just talk about the Jets quick here. If you're talking about Jets again, you said you talk about the familiarity. Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, they know each other well. When you look at the Jets now, their leading receiver is Alan Lazard, who, you know, Aaron Rodgers is very familiar with. Despite you having, you know, Garrett Wilson and some of the other weapons there, he's still going to what's comfortable. And if you had a Devontae Adams, it's a better kind of cushion here or that go-to escape route for Devontae. He knows that he doesn't work with him. You talked about being in the offseason, not being in camp, working with these guys, getting on the same page with them. And you even saw it in, I think, last week's game. I think he was throwing to, but even last week, I think he threw out to Garrett Wilson, and Wilson wasn't even turned around looking, and he's kind of just like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I seemed it right to you. If he catches that, he's just looking for it. That's a catch and then some, and possibly a touchdown on that in a game that they needed to come back and win, a tight game against the Broncos.
That type of play, though, that's a play where you need to work on in the offseason. That's the play where Rodgers had to be there because it's a communication issue. Rodgers saw one thing on the play. Garrett Wilson said, I'm still going to run my route, and not realizing that Rodgers saw something. That's a communication issue.
Right, and that's the thing. And then if you do put a Devontae Adams there, you know, that thing works. And I think the Jets really do have pressure right now, and especially with Aaron Rodgers, what he kind of had, you know, how he had that list of demands when he first got there. Right. Hey, you know, it's not a list of demands, but it's a list of demands. This is who I want, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think it would be a great addition, and they could pull it off if they just finagle a little bit of money and do it. And I think it's in their best interest, because I really think if this is a lame duck season here for the Jets, that Aaron Rodgers is done. I mean, he's already complaining now that he's like, oh, I'm a little sore now. I'm banged up already. Like, I don't know, you know. So is he already ready to sit down and just kind of chill, you know? So I think it would – I think if you do bring in Devontae Adams, that's a – not only just a fit, but I think that will help the team altogether, not only just, you know, with the personnel-wise and what he offers to the team, but just with Aaron Rodgers being comfortable with a guy like that.
Yeah, you know, and that's what it is. It's all about familiarity. The relationship that Rodgers and Adams have is uncanny. Like, think about the days in Green Bay on how amazing those two were working together. Like, they want that same relationship once again. We know that they've spoken publicly, even this offseason, about how they would love to find a way to play on the same team again. And it's the opportunity is here. But how much are the Jets willing to part with in terms of compensation? Mm-hmm. If they really want to get this thing done, you know, and button it all up really quickly, because every day that goes by, we're hearing more and more teams starting to call. And when you have a large audience all looking to trade for one particular player, that drives up the cost. That drives up that you know, the interest for Adams. So I think that if the Jets want to avoid a bidding war, they need to do it before this Sunday. Because what's going to happen is that if it bleeds into next week, you're going to have – I don't know. Like, right now, it seems like there's about 7 teams interested, but that list could grow to 12 by next week.
Yep.
Because it's not about like, again, we've said it before, like, Adams isn't going to dictate where he goes.
Right.
But here's the thing is, like, what team has the Cleveland Browns, their team right now that has a ton of money that could easily take on his contract, work on it for the future. They're also a team that's looking to possibly trade Amari Cooper once again. So there's a lot of things that are spiraling out of control for some teams, where the Browns even have called the Raiders, have started talks about what they would do for the Raiders. That's interesting because they're $44 million under the cap. If they think by adding Adams all of a sudden is going to make that offense great, they're going to do it. But in reality, that offense is in such disarray with injuries and they're just not playing well. I don't think that situation will come to fruition, but they're one of those teams that are out there that people really aren't giving a lot of attention to. But it's right. Definitely another possibility.
Yeah, because, again, you know, you've got that extra weapon there. It'll work out. And they got the money. You know what I mean? And you look at that defense. As of late, the defense, you know, has been not really struggling and stuff like that. But
not good.
Not good. Yeah, you know what I mean? And not what they were last year, you know, someone right. That was a dominant force. So that's been, you know, suspect for them with an offense that hasn't been good either. Like you said, it would add that spark. You got this guy instantly is going to make an impact, and they have the money, so it makes sense there to an extent.
Which here's the interesting too about the Browns is I'm perplexed, honestly, when I watched the Browns play the Raiders, and Deshaun Watson doesn't look comfortable out there, and that's led to a lot of him holding onto the ball more. It's led to him trying to make plays with his legs. And in that game, the Raiders are no slouches on defense. So I learned a lot about Watson last game. And I honestly have to say that it's not all Watson. The offensive line is playing terrible.
Yes.
He didn't have a whole lot of time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, losing Teller, the all-pro guard for Cleveland,
yeah.
He's going to be out for some time now. They don't have Jack Conklin back yet at right mm-hmm. tackle. So they're going through it a little bit in terms of injuries on the offense, which I feel like is definitely working against the Browns and Deshaun Watson. Now, my other question is what I noticed about Watson is the fact that there were several plays where we talk about him holding onto the football, and Watson's a smart quarterback. It's not like he forgot how to play. It seems as if these receivers are just simply not getting open.
Mm-hmm.
Like Elijah Moore, who they traded for, they got from the Jets, and they were hoping that he could have a spark. Then they trade for Jerry Jeudy this last offseason, and they were hoping he could have another spark. But none of them are consistently yeah. getting open for Watson to throw the ball to. So it's not just the I wonder by adding Adams, because he is a much better receiver. No offense to Cooper. Amari Cooper is really good, but mm-hmm. he's not Devontae. So
right.
if they add Adams, does that help this offense grow and maybe potentially get back into the season hunt? But I don't think it's just one piece. So right with that being said, I don't think the Browns, as much as they are interested, as much as they would definitely do this trade, to me it's just not a likely thing because I don't think that's the answer for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and again, his scenario is different than the Brandon Ayuk scenario because, again, a lot of these teams right. that are popping up are those same teams that were looking at Brandon Ayuk, but he also had the power to choose who he kind of yes. wanted or whatever. Yep. You know, they asked him, yeah, this is where you want to go, blah, 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 this and this, and he'd shoot it down or whatnot.
Right.
Not this case here, so they could send him to wherever they feel like or wherever the next bidding team is. For me, I think another situation yep. or a team to kind of look at, which could be intriguing, and when you look at relationships, I think we've talked about this with a few people that we've had on, but I think even Roderick David, relationships when it comes to GMs and things like
right.
that, talking yep. to each other. And I know that the Raiders and the Pittsburgh Steelers do a lot of trades together or work together a lot of different times than they have in mm-hmm. the past. And they have a good relationship. Now, adding Devontae Adams to the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, they were in the hunt for, you know, Brandon Ayuk at 1.2, and they still would like another receiver there to help out the team, whether it be Justin Fields keep on going right now, what they're doing, or Russell Wilson. You get put Russell Wilson plugged back into that offense, and right. Now you've got Devontae Adams plus George Pickens and, you know, Freiermuth and things like that.
That Miles Austin kid.
Yeah, exactly. And then you still got, you know, your running game going. So, I mean, that only helps Russell Wilson or even Justin Fields at this point. And that offense going to pile that with that defense. Now you're looking at Pittsburgh. I mean, Pittsburgh looks pretty decent right now for what they've been doing. I mean, at least they're winning right now with what they have. But you add that, and that is a different, you know, a difference maker for this team in this division that they're in that's still kind of tight in any, you know, shot for them to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers makes a lot of sense. You're right with the relationships thing. The Raiders and the Steelers have done a lot of trades throughout their history together. The one sticking point, though, is money. Right now, currently, they're at $10 million under
the
cap.
Yeah, that's the thing I looked at.
That number's got to come way up in order for them to even be able to pull this off. Obviously, maybe if they could agree to a new deal and kind of push down that guaranteed money a little farther down the road and lighten the load, at least for this season, something that they could, you know, definitely look into. But that right there, the financial hurdle, it's not about interest for the Steelers. They definitely were interested in the offseason about Devontae the same time the Jets were, but it's still there. They still know that they're like one piece away on offense to kind of really say, okay, well, it's not the receivers now. We got definitely enough. If Pittsburgh was to obtain Devontae, that is going to be a huge boost to not only the offense, but also George Pickens. I feel like George Pickens has been all too often double teamed because he's their best receiver right now.
Right.
Teams are just worried about him. So they slide coverage over to wherever he is and make sure that he doesn't become too much a factor. You add that Devontae Adams to that. You know, that equation now, it's like, crap. We're going to double team Devontae. We're going to play single against Pickens, which will be a mistake because he'll eat it up. And same thing for the Steelers going forward with that quarterback situation. I'm sorry. Even though their record is good, what is it, 3-1 now? That quarterback position is not settled. You get Russell Wilson back, that offense will be even better. And that will make the Steelers even more dangerous because the guy knows how to throw a football. If you haven't watched the Steelers play, watch Justin Fields. Go watch the highlights, or I should say lowlights, because Justin Fields, when he's asked to, okay, the pressure's on me right now. I gotta throw the ball and get the ball down the field. When that is all on him, he struggles and he can't make it work. He just simply holds on to the ball too long. He has missed throws all the time. And obviously you see the turnovers from week to week to week. So inconsistency at quarterback, that's the problem for Pittsburgh. Justin Fields is not the answer. So hopefully Russell Wilson is going to be back healthy really soon. It sounds like he was going to be due back this week, but there's been rumors around Pittsburgh like they still might stick with Fields even though Wilson may be healthy, which I don't buy it, but I would totally disagree if that's their decision because I think you've seen enough from Fields not putting points on the board. This team is one of the lowest scoring offenses in the league, and their defense is great, playing awesome. And that's really the reason why they're able to escape with a few wins. But last week, we saw when it came time for Fields to shine, he definitely underperformed and didn't show up. So that if the Steelers do acquire Devontae, something has to change at quarterback. You need to put Russell Wilson in there.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's multiple teams out there that we're hearing about, teams that we feel like there's a shot for them to play. To kind of actually pay him too and be there. I want to pick your brain about, let's say, the 49ers. Okay. They're at the top here with the money. They have lots of money. Mm-hmm. And that's only because they're setting up to end up doing the payday for, you know, Brock Purdy and things like that, which I get. But if you're talking about this season, I still think that might be an investment they would like to make, even though, again, they're crosstown rivals with the Raiders or whatnot and things like that.
Right.
But and I'm sure Raider fans would hate to see that. But I think the numbers are there that show you the with the injuries, especially that they've had here. They own George Kittle and you know, Debo's constantly injured, and the record when Debo is out is telling. When he is not involved in the game and he's out and injured, the record win loss record is drastically different. And I think if you add a you know Davante Adams to that, you've got the money. You can still have Debo. You still have all these weapons. I mean, we saw it when they added Christian McCaffrey when you thought they were rich enough, and they're like, hey, we just need Christian McCaffrey still, though, too. Why not? Boom.
Yeah, right.
And they get it, and you're kind of like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Now, yeah. But now even with him being injured, too, I can see them, you know, just saying, hey, let's go out for this. Let's do this. And then if they get Davante in there, they're trying to win now, too. Because let's not be naive to this whole thing with the 49ers that, hey, they're building this thing. They're going to be good for a very long time, this and that. But, you know, they have been frustrated with getting to the big dance multiple times and coming up short, that these guys want to win desperately and want to win now and do it. And I think adding Davante Adams and for them to give up, you know, a second, third, fourth, whatever. We saw the Rams do the same thing, and they won with a Matthew Stafford and stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if they just say, screw it, let's do it, you know, and then maybe move on from somebody in the long run if they decide to keep Davante for a little longer or whatnot. It wouldn't matter to them because they just got the chip out of it.
Check the boxes right off. Going for another Super Bowl run. 49ers, check. They are definitely going to be one of the best teams when they get to the playoffs. Check. You know, and they're on the West Coast, which is where Davante wanted to go to after Green Bay. He wanted to get closer to home. So check the box for West Coast. You know what I mean? So, and the fact that I feel like Davante's one of those type of wide receivers. Not only is he one of the still seen as one of the best wide receivers in the game. But you add him to this star-studded 49er team, too, that he opens up a whole other Pandora box for the Niners. When we saw Christian McCaffrey, like you mentioned, getting traded to the Niners, we're like, holy shit, this team is not only was already legit, but now they got McCaffrey in the backfield. And you look at the team now, even though they have injuries, even though freaking George Kittle, Debo Samuel, Trent Williams was banged up, McCaffrey's out. All those guys, all those key components were out last week. But they still made it work. They still were. It's almost like they didn't miss a beat. That's a dangerous team. So if you add Davante Adams to that squad, you're doing one of two things. If the Niners do acquire this, it makes a lot of sense, too. They're definitely going to go for that Super Bowl again. You add Adams, a very dynamic wide receiver, but also you're making another decision where, like, okay, we're not going to bring back Debo.
Right.
That's what it's going to – that's in turn, that's what's going to do. You've already agreed to sign Ayuk. You know, now he's happy. He's got his money. But we're going to move on from Debo now. That's what that shows me. Debo is 30 years old. So he's 2 years younger than Adams, but Adams is so much more impactful in terms of a dynamic playmaker downfield. He doesn't do the same things, obviously, as Debo. Debo's a special player. He can run the ball. He's very physical. He's a different type of receiver. But if you're looking to really strike fear into the secondary of defenses, you add Adams, and if you're able to keep Ayuk, that's something special. And then not only, at least this year, you're going to have Debo for that Super Bowl run. So it makes a lot of sense. If I were the Niners, I would do whatever it took to get Davante. It makes too much sense to do it. You could still redo his contract to make it a little cheaper when you do trade for him. And may God have mercy on people's souls for the defenses, because it was very tough to stop the Niners when they are healthy. But if you were able to add Adams on top of all that, oh, my God.
Yeah.
They would instantly be the favorites.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I looked it up. His record, the 49ers record without Debo Samuel is 8-10. So that's telling for a team that usually has 11-plus, you know, wins and is a playoff contender, at least even since Brock Purdy had joined the squad.
And they'll still be that because they can still find ways, different ways to make the offense work.
Right, and even when you look at Debo, when we talk about the injuries that he has had, what helps but adding Devontae Adams and saying now we don't have to rely on Debo to do all these running plays, all these things, and that is what makes him special, but he can take a few plays off, this and this, and try and stay healthy. You're not asking so much of him a lot of times.
Yeah, the other thing, too.
It only makes sense.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, that's interesting about this is Ayuk. Like, it was almost like the Niners didn't want to pay him, but they also didn't want to lose him, so they ended up paying him at the very end.
Yeah.
What's to say that possibly he could be a bargaining chip, where if they were able to trade straight up, no extra draft compensation, if they trade Ayuk for Adams, and then that way, I'm just saying, it's just another idea to throw out there, because if Ayuk isn't in their long-term plans. He's still young. He's 26 years old. But if they wanted to make this happen, and they think Adams, by moving on from Ayuk, because let's face it, Ayuk really hasn't been that involved in the offense yet.
Right.
Now, his involvement increased last week slightly, but...
Slightly, but it was mainly, even, you know, Juwan Jennings and things like that last 2 weeks.
My point is without all those key players, no Debo, no George Kittle, no Christian McCaffrey. And I thought for sure Ayuk was going to go crazy last week, but he didn't.
Yep.
He wasn't that much involved. So if that's the case and you're going to bring in an Adams who definitely he's a better receiver than Ayuk, you bring him in, even swap, we're good. You know, so, I mean, that's something to think about, too, for the Niners.
Right, and I was thinking the same thing, too. And Ayuk, that it'd be a bargaining chip, again, because you can go in multiple ways, because if you say you get Devontae Adams even for a 2 year or 3 year, and you decide to say that's already takes out even Debo if you wanted to. You've got Ricky Pearsall. You've got Juwan Jennings there still, too. So, and you can even draft another wide receiver after that, and they don't lose a step. And they just still shed the money still, you know, in a sense, you know, or you know, and even swap what you said for Ayuk and get rid of it. So where it's a win-win. So I think for me, that's got to be the ultimate destination out of anybody there. Because everybody, like you said, check the boxes. One, boom, boom, everything, you know?
Yeah, it definitely makes a lot of sense. There are two other teams that I actually want to kind of put a spotlight on, too, that not really getting any – real like burn in terms of the media, but how about the Detroit Lions? How about the Lions, who are $28 million under the cap, could definitely easily take on this contract? And think about that receiving core: Amon-Ra St. Brown, Devontae Adams, Jameson Williams. Right. Now we talk about Super Bowl caliber teams. Lions are definitely one of them. Yeah. And if they were able to add a Devontae Adams to this offense with Jared Goff, who is a really good quarterback who can get him the ball just like Brock Purdy can. Like, oh, my God. I mean, again, that flips the script and it changes the whole spectrum of what we're going to be looking for towards the playoffs. So that's one of the teams that I would like to see get into this race and makes a lot of sense for them. Playoff caliber. And also, the other point, too, Jim, is that we talked about the Niners. We just brought up the Lions. Those are two NFC teams.
Right.
That would be the perfect – trade partner for the Raiders as well, because now you're getting them out of the conference.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to face him too often. You know, and I understand he's at the tail end of his career, but you definitely don't want to trade him in the conference and then have to face him again and get destroyed. You know what I mean? Yep. So it's like if you're lucky enough to trade him outside the conference, get him with the Niners, get him with the Lions. And then one other team I'll mention too is Washington Commanders. This is the team that is on the rise. They're still young. They got a lot of moving pieces, but Jane Daniels is catching his stride early in his rookie campaign. And that is dangerous for everybody that has to face them. Their offense has now exploded and is just taken the league almost by storm in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Jane Daniels with Cliff Kingsbury has taken the training wheels off of Jane Daniels now and has opened this passing playbook to the point where now Terry McLaurin is heavily involved. Everybody else is getting involved. Jaden Daniels himself, being the dual threat quarterback that he is, not only can he make every pass, but also you got to worry about him running the ball. So that's another interesting team, a team that's on the rise, a team that could be a playoff caliber team. We didn't expect it to happen this soon, but hey, this is the NFL. If this season has taught us anything, it's that expect the unexpected, because the Washington Commanders are on the rise, and what, and they have the money too, $25 million under the cap. They could bring him in. Imagine Terry McLaurin and Davante Adams with Jaden Daniels and this team. Like, that's another huge step for a team like Washington that's on the rise.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the teams I was thinking as well. So it seemed like, and we didn't even talk about this before we met up tonight, and we are on the same wavelength completely, because, again, you look at the money, and it makes sense. And then you look at the situation, and it makes sense. Look at the Washington Commanders. They've got the young rookie quarterback, so you don't have to worry about that deal. Anybody else there that has gotten deals are already pretty much set, unless now Terry McLaurin decides to ask for, you know, an extension and, you know, some a bigger paycheck here. But he just seems excited that the offense is going, and he's behind his quarterback. And I've seen a lot, you know, this him getting really lively in this offense right now and getting excited out there. Something he hasn't had the chance to happen for him. And like you said, you add, you know, somebody like Davante Adams to this mix. That offense exploded before and put up a 40-something points or something. It's going to get scary, because even Luke McCaffrey making a difference in this team, too, on top of it, you know, and the other weapons that they have, you know, Noah Brown, too, as well. Terry McLaurin, Davante Adams, and then those other guys are just sprinkled in with sign pieces and mix it around. I mean, that's one thing I had looked at this team and wondered if they needed is just, I like those guys. Luke McCaffrey, yes, is even just a rookie or whatever, but if you got that extra weapon like that on the two other sides here, you're talking about, like you like to say, even bookend wide receivers here, that will make this offense so much better and make a push. We saw something like this back when Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow joined hands here in Cincinnati, and we thought they were kind of an up-and-coming team, and they all of a sudden just sparked that season and made a push. Yeah, I'm not surprised if the Washington Commanders kind of do something like this.
Let's call, if it's going to be wide receiver, let's call it a dynamic duo.
Dynamic duos, there
because
you go.
Because that, to me, you got two playmakers that are just balling, and that – that would be something to see. Like, I don't care if it's Washington. I don't care if it's the Lions. I don't care if it's the 49ers. To me, those three teams right there make more sense than any of the teams that we've talked about previously. I understand Devontae wants to go to the Jets. I understand Devontae even mentioned the Saints with Derek Carr.
Yeah.
But come on. I mean, the Saints have their own cap issues. We talked about this past offseason.
For a while.
They were sub $60 million over the cap. They figured out a way to get back under, but guess what? Next season, it's going to be much of the same, where they got to clear more cap space. They're due to be over the cap yet again. And so to me, like, financially, that just not only won't work. I mean, you could probably make it work if you wanted to, but again, you got to worry about the year later than the following year. And there's another team that keeps getting brought up, the team that's already called the Raiders, is the Buffalo Bills. And makes a lot of sense for Buffalo, obviously. I mean, they got Keon Coleman, who's a rookie, who's still trying to figure the NFL out, and it's just not clicking for him yet. But you got Khalil Shakir, who also just went down with an injury. He might be missing some time. So now you got a rookie wide receiver, no Khalil Shakir, and you got your tight ends to rely on, and Dalton Kincaid
Dawson Knox.
And Schultz. And Knox, So that's not good enough. You need more weapons. So even though the Bills make a crap ton of sense and they should trade whatever they could for them, they definitely got to worry about the finances, because they only have $3 million under the cap currently. And the finance part is probably the biggest hurdle for Buffalo. It's not interest. It's not whether they would or would not do the trade. It's you got to figure out a way to correct that financial issue for them. So even though they make a ton of sense, however, and they're, you know, one of those seen as one of those playoff caliber teams, however, it's such a steep hill to climb for teams like the Saints, teams like Buffalo, that I don't think necessarily it's going to happen for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree. I understand where people are coming at, because, again, they still look at this as, you know, Khalil Shakir, how long is that going to last? You know, you're still missing Stephon Diggs or whatever. Josh Allen's still putting a lot out there. You know, they just lost to Baltimore, got embarrassed, you know, and to an extent. You know, so people are still bringing it out there. Hey, Davante Adams, now this is it. He's here. This is what you need now. Now you need that stud, you know, number one. I don't know if that's really McDermott's type of MO. I think he still is good with what he has here. Davante Adams would always help. I get that. But when you're trying to finagle all this money and trying to do all this too on top of it, I mean, I think the Bills really might just be just kind of safe where they are.
That's really the only thing. And teams right. figure no, this yeah. out, too. Mm-hmm. Even though it doesn't look likely, teams, if they really want a player, they'll figure something out financially and get it to work under the cap constraints. My thing, too, is they desperately need it, just like these other – like teams like the Lions, teams like the Niners, Washington even, they don't desperately need Davante Adams' services.
Yeah,
it would be phenomenal for them if they were to obtain him. But teams like Buffalo, I feel like, are desperate now at this point for wide receiver. Yeah. They need a number one. They don't have one. As good as Khalil Shakir is, and he is, he's a pass-catching, dynamo for the Buffalo Bills. That's really what he is. But Keon Coleman is not that deep threat, dynamic guy down the field yet. He still could develop to be, but again, he's trying to find his way. He's not really getting involved that much in the offense. And now with Khalil Shakir's injury, this just puts it at an all-time high level of alert and readiness for the Buffalo Bills to probably make a move if they want to continue to stay in this playoff race after losing Khalil Shakir, which sounds like he's going to be out for 2 to 3 weeks or something like that. It's desperation time. Like if you want to make your presence known, make it to the playoffs and possibly go further than just round one, you're going to need a guy like Davante Adams. So I agree with you, Jim. I know that the finances are steep. It's hard to figure out, but I know if anything has taught me anything in the NFL is that just when you think a team is out of the running, they figure out some way to make the finances work and get it done.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And to touch on your assessment of the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
I'm in agreement the same way. Again, yes, you love the fact that you do have Amon-Ra St. Brown. Jameson Williams finally, you know, stepping up after being injured for so long and stuff like that, really being part of this offense this year, really stepping up to a new level. But the dynamic here, we talk about teams that have guys that aren't on the big money contract yet, you know, like the rookie quarterback deals and things like that. Good scenarios. This team has already paid everybody except for Aiden Hutchinson right now. So they are in a good spot too, as well, to say, kind of like you said, like not in desperation like the Bills might be. It's kind of like, why not?
We've reinforce. Got
it. Do it. Yeah. Listen, you know what I mean?
Listen, take a page out of the Niners, for God's sakes. Listen, the Niners didn't really need McCaffrey, but they're like, hey, if we're able to obtain him, why not? And it's going to help us with our Super Bowl run. Why not Detroit? Why not really get – I mean, the fans are already excited, obviously, with the Lions. I'm excited for the Lions. But why not add another key stud in the receiving core? I mean, it's crazy to think that teams like the Niners, who have all this crazy talent, still are the top team in terms of under the cap money.
Yeah, it's I know. Is that yeah? I so, brought that up to somebody today, and they blew their mind.
They definitely can still make this move. The Lions could still make it. Washington, we talked about, is a candidate that I think makes a lot of sense too for them, where they're headed as a young team, and give, why not give, you know, Jaden Daniels another weapon like that? Like, you already got Terry. Imagine how difficult it is to defend if you were able to get Adams on the Niners, Lions, or Washington even right now. Like, they already have really good receivers. And you add a guy like that who could help you possibly get over that hump that you haven't been able to hurdle over, I mean, it just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, definitely. So there you go. There's some of the teams that potentially could be the best fit for Davante Adams. If the trade happens, we've also seen things, you know, when we talk about these certain scenarios, where, you know, they're not or whatever, but I think this is in the best interest for Devontae, and I think also the Raiders at this point too, with where they are, trying to add talent too as well and trying to kind of build something, I think, here with Antonio Pierce.
And one real important thing that I got to mention for the Raiders anyway is they honestly, I don't think they were going to keep Devontae past this year. When it when his contract is $35 million, yeah, they could restructure it and keep him longer. But when you've decided to move on from his buddy, his pal, and Derek Carr, I feel like he felt a certain way behind closed doors. Not that he wanted to leave the Raiders right away, but I feel like that's what slowly kind of like maybe confused him in a sense with that decision. And now that he's been there, you know, 2 years later, nothing's changed. Where's my, and the other thing too, I got to point out is Aiden O'Connell. That was the, who Devontae Adams wanted to be quarterback, mind you. He wanted O'Connell to be his quarterback. And the fact that they chose against that, I feel like that's kind of where maybe things kind of to start where they're like, all right, we'll wait and see what happens for a couple weeks. And if it doesn't get any better, then I'm out. And here we are now. So Aiden O'Connell still not the quarterback. Poor decision by them. And honestly, I don't think they were going to stick with Adams long term for the remainder of his contract. So we're seeing it the trade is going to happen sooner than we were anticipating, but it is what it is now. Now it's and let's face it, Raiders are not in any form or fashion a playoff caliber team right now, despite what maybe some of the Raider fans out there might tell you. I'm a big Raiders fan, but I'm realistic.
You're real.
Like, listen, we're definitely a few pieces away. So get the compensation that you can get, whatever that may be. If it's with the Niners, maybe you could steal Ayuk from them and build off the team that way. Or if it's draft compensation, get the best damn deal you can to help grow your team in the future.
There you go. So all right, next now up in the headlines, big that's coming out now. It's kind of an old story in a sense, but now there's finally suspensions being laid down and things like that. And it is Von Miller now suspended 4 games for violating the league personal conduct policy. Joe, and this all stems to, you know,
an
accusation. Yes. You know, way to be an substanding, you know, citizen here and a way to, you know, represent the Shield, right? But this is one of those scenarios, again, to where the charges were dropped. You know what I mean? It's between a loved one, a girlfriend, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And clearly something had happened, but, you know, again, they just, I think she wanted to go after him to an extent to kind of put that shock into him, and then they had made amends or whatever, and then now it's over. So he hasn't really done any jail time, things like that, blah, blah, blah. But now finally, it's you know, the NFL, they do their own personal investigation, and you find out that if the NFL is laying down, you know, some punishment now, that they also found some things to be true. And if you look at back at what it was, it's according to an arrest warrant affidavit from Dallas Police Department last year, Von Miller was accused of assaulting his pregnant girlfriend. And this is the thing too, not only just a woman, but she's pregnant at the time, right? And the alleged victim told police that Miller had ordered her to leave the apartment that they shared in Dallas after a verbal argument. But then she had also told officers that Miller twice placed pressure with his hand around her neck. Although she was still able to breathe, Miller allegedly left the apartment after the woman and she was going to call the police. Police report says an officer observed minor abrasions on the complainant's left hand, along with bruising to her neck too as well, that coincide with the story. So police know they've been there and things like that, but it's another thing to where, and you know, you've seen this happen, because, you know, we've worked in Albany before, we've seen crimes and things, people act out of control, especially after drinking at the nightclubs and stuff. Now police are kind of like, hey, all right, let's separate you guys. And then he's like, all right, this person, do you want to press charges? Do you want to do this?
No.
And this is where we're at. And like I said, the fact that the NFL is now laying down, you know, suspensions for it. There's some definitely smoke, the fire where there's smoke here.
Well, here's the interesting thing about all this is that the NFL, and I'm confused because the NFL suspends certain players but doesn't suspend other players that are in trouble. Like, they handpick, like, Von Miller gets suspended for 4 games. And obviously, like, domestic abuse is no laughing matter. Like, it's definitely a serious topic. It's something that shouldn't happen. We wish it didn't happen, but it does, unfortunately. But for Von Miller, like, he deserves a suspension. Honestly, like, he deserves more than just 4 games. Like you really want to hurt the dude. It's always financially. So you do it where it hurts, in the pocket. So I think that he could have easily had an 8-game suspension. And that would have definitely hurt him. But I'll say this. Like, Michael Thomas, he's been kind of in the don't do that type of schematic. And the NFL suspended him for 1 game. He's not even playing on a football team right now. He's a free agent, mm-hmm. and they still suspended him for 1 game. Yeah. There's a guy, but Rashee Rice, you might know him, on the Kansas City Chiefs. Had this dramatic event that happened, and a catastrophic event for that matter, in a car pileup, flees the scene of an accident, and that court case is still going on today. People were harmed in it. There was a young child that got hurt in it, but he fled the scene. But he's still being able to play. Now, obviously, he just sustained a major injury. We don't know the end result of that. It seems like it might be season ending. It might not be. But we're still waiting to hear the final details on Rashee Rice and his future.
Yeah.
But for Von Miller, to me, it just doesn't make sense how you allow that certain players to continue playing, but then others you nitpick and suspend them. But anyway, Von Miller, like, the problem with him is that, you know, domestic abuse, they should have come down harder on it, I feel like. Like, knowing the fact that there's evidence out there. Usually, if there's no evidence, it's kind of hard to say, like, oh, did the guy do it? Did he not do it? Well, if there's no evidence, then obviously you have no case. Like, there's nothing there. But the fact that they had evidence, they probably took photos of the victim and with the abrasions on the neck and all that. That's evidence. NFL, do your damn job. Like, it's one thing if you're accused and there's no evidence. Maybe you give them a small suspension just because we don't condone this. You can't be involved in anything like this, so you get a few games. But when evidence comes to light, are you kidding me? Like, this guy, I just think that they are so inconsistent as an organization when it comes down to giving, dishing out punishments, that it leaves fan bases confused. It leaves, you know, even team owners and the coaching staff confused on what is going to happen next.
Right.
Von Miller gets 4 games, and, you know, we're going to live with this, right? Buffalo Bills fans out there, like, okay, it sucks for them. He's not going to be available, but at the same time, he deserves it. Deserves even more.
Right. Yeah, and what's kind of funny, I don't know exactly it's funny, but, he was on Good Morning Football, Roger Goodell himself, and the questions coming at him is, you know, this and that, Vaughn, and also the international games, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but it would be nice if these people just all of a sudden said, all right, Roger, Von Miller is going to be suspended for 4 games for allegedly doing this, allegedly again. What really is your policy on domestic violence and violating the personal conduct thing? You know what I mean? How do you determine the punishments? I mean, if it's even written, it's like, oh, you know, due to extent or extreme cases, it could be anywhere from 1 to, you know, a season or something like that. If it says that, then it leaves it wide open, and that's why they choose whatever they want. But what really is it? I would like somebody to ask a hard question. What are you guys looking at, and what is it that determines the punishment? Because some of it does seem like it's biased, even for certain players too as well, whether you like them or even if the team's winning or whatnot. Or even if it's based even on evidence, because we saw the Kareem Hunt thing happen too, the Ray Rice thing, both the different things. There's, you know, maybe what it was just with Kareem Hunt, it was actual, this, they had camera footage And, you know, but I mean, if the police, again, they talked to her, she had, they had also noticed that she had bruises near her abdomen area later on too. So I'm sure they took pictures, like you said too. They know this. Yeah. And the fact that he turned himself in, you know, they had an arrest warrant for him. He turned himself in. He showed us, oh, yeah, here I am. Paid the $5,000 for bond or whatever. I think an innocent person doesn't do that. You know what I mean? And for him, he probably was just like, yeah, it's chump change. I don't care. Here's the $5,000. Here I am. And then later on, she tells it when they reached, when CNN, I think, reached out to her, to the victim, alleged victim. Again, we have to keep it that way because it ended now. Apparently, we're fake news. She is like, oh, well, the story somehow got way out of blown out of proportion somehow and misunderstood and blah, blah, blah. It's like, how do you misunderstand what you said and then that there were actual physical bruises and things like that? So that just seems like you guys made amends or he said something or here's some more money. I'll buy you a nice, you know, diamond or whatever and this and that. Let's work it out. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like you said, you know, what's it going to take for some of these guys to stop doing things like this? Or is the NFL going to finally crack down harder? Or what? Give us an actual guideline with this whole thing. Will they ever? Most likely not. But no, because I mean, that's what we're kind of looking like, because there's also people. I think somebody had brought up in one of our NFL chats that there's somebody else that was also I guess against alleged charges of some kind of you know, personal conduct in assault, and that's not even being spoken about because he's not a big name type of, you know.
And that's it right there. It's a matter of how big the player's stature is in the league. I know it sounds messed up, but it is messed up. Like Von Miller, he's a very well-known name. A lot of people know him, even if you're not a Bills fan. He started his career with the Broncos. Like everybody throughout the league knows that he's a premier pass rusher. He's very well known. So since he's so well known, yes, naughty. Shame on you, Von. So we're going to give you a 4-game suspension. Mm-hmm. Now, if it was anybody else, let's say like a backup position, whether it be quarterback, whether it be receiver, whatever it may be, but a player that doesn't really play that much. Now, I bet you they throw the book at those guys, you know? Not only do they not make as much as some of these star players, but they get the book thrown at them from the NFL. Like they could have been suspended for the whole season versus a guy like Von Miller or even Rashee Rice, who's still playing despite obviously he got injured, but he was playing up to this point with no restrictions. He practiced with the team in full. He played every single game up to last week. But it's like, why is there differing, you know, opinions with the NFL on, because of the stature of your player in the league, why do they get treated differently? Shouldn't be like that. If you're going to throw the book at a backup player for doing something wrong, you do better damn do the same thing for the star player that's doing something wrong. Like, obviously, we do know that there's different levels, obviously, for whatever crime that you commit. Domestic abuse is way up there, you know, but like even we've seen cases even like in the past that after their careers, like fraud gets brought up or something like that. To me, that's nothing compared to what some of these other star players are doing in today's league. Like the domestic abuse cases are all over the place, all the time, almost every single year you're hearing a few players getting involved in domestic abuse. Mm-hmm. But again, we don't have the same criteria for punishments for every single player, no matter what you are. I don't care if you're the former Super Bowl MVP, you know, with the Chiefs or something like that. You do something wrong, you should get the book thrown at you, especially if there's evidence. If there's no evidence, then I get it. Maybe you give a little suspension and you move on. But that's the problem in the NFL, is the fact that they're so inconsistent. We talk about how referees are so inconsistent and how bad they are. Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the league, is terrible giving out punishments. He's also inconsistent, and it's on a case to case basis, and not just straight across, even no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, that's one thing I think we'll pay attention to here, and Von Miller again. For them to do it even now, I think it's kind of crazy. Like, what takes so long with your investigations. You know, it's a whole year.
The evidence and things is there. Like that.
The evidence was there.
For the most part, the investigators and the police do all the hard legwork. Then the NFL just gets the evidence and gets what they know, and that's the investigation. It's not like they have their own private detectives going to look at stuff. They have the evidence, make a call based on the evidence, and it should be the same no matter what the level of player.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. All right. So again, I brought up the Good Morning Football. I think he was on with them earlier this week, and Roger Goodell was asked multiple questions, but then also he was asked about the international games, and he's very excited about which way they're going, and he's also excited about the upcoming game this week at 9:30 a.m. on our side with the Jets and the Minnesota Vikings in London. Because he said that also now, I think, I don't know, I can't quote him right now, but I know it's something along the lines where when we first went there, they didn't know what was going on, and then now they're intellectual, and this they kind of like, what the hell are you talking about? But they kind of know the game now. They were just like, what is this? And now they know the rules. They're excited. They're getting a fan base in London. So now you're able to bring the Jets, the Vikings, and he's excited about that matchup. Especially with the Vikings being 4-0 at this point under Sam Darnold, it's very exciting, and especially him going back against his old team, the Jets. So there's a little bit of a storyline there. But within that interview, he had said, I think they know that he got 8 lined up or so, but he is expecting that it's eventually going to turn into 16 games in a season that are going to go international, and it's not just Europe, but international altogether. And you know that they've been working on this. I think they call it the NFL's Global Markets Program, and there's 25 clubs involved, and there's 19 international markets that where these teams and certain teams have the rights to certain areas to market their team and kind of build a fan base in that country or region to where they could potentially have this expansion come and games being played there. But we've talked about this multiple times.
Yep.
How far does it go, and how far press does it go? Obviously, Roger Goodell is telling the hunky-dory happy stories because he had also brought up somebody I think that had recently traveled, I think it was part of the Eagles, to I think one of the offensive linemen of the Eagles. Yeah, I talked to him, and he said the plane ride was good, food was good, had a great time. They'd love to do it again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's like a vacation,
He's talking it up. He says with agreement with the owners that looking to do 16 full games. What do you think about that, Joe? And then also potential regions that you think might be the next up and coming that they're going to add, or do they just do multiple games in these certain close regions that they have, Berlin, things like that, Brazil?
I'm looking for a few per year, but as they keep growing this and expanding, be a little more to go to new country all the way. I mean, to add, like, Canada's dead. I mean, a lot of sense. Canada, but they're on a bird, one of us, by now, I have 15 games going into Canada. Mexico, they're another semi-close country, they're right down below us, you know what I mean? That makes a lot of sense. There's definitely a lot of Rams and Raider fans in Mexico. That's usually where they all gravitate to those kind of fan bases. London is like the one that we've been going to, it's been a success no matter where the NFL has gone. I don't think it would ever be a problem wherever they decide to go. I think it'll always be a hit, something new. It's something that would be never possible, making it possible. So London makes sense. But then we get into places like Germany, which is a little farther than London. I feel like Germany is going to happen no matter what. Australia to me is probably a very long shot. The amount of time it takes just to get out there is insane. Not to mention the finances that every team owner is going to have to pay to get to Australia. And the same thing could be said about China. You know, China is, I'm almost a little confused why China is even on the list. I understand it's popular in China. I understand. certain restrictions that that's in China being a communist country. You know, there's definitely some red tape that I feel like that the NFL would have to get over in order to make that even happen. Also, it's one of those countries where how much do they even need Americans? Like, because there's certain countries I go to, only other laws way different. You might potentially get NFL players in trouble. Like, all they want experience, they want to check out these countries. They're going to be playing a football game every week, and you're going to get there as early as you possibly can go.
Yeah, and if you look at some of the, because I even have it up here, maybe I can. What I'll do is I'll share my screen. What's that?
Yeah, so that's my thing is what happens when that does happen, because it don't happen yet. But when you go to some of these. You're not familiar with that there's different laws and stuff. That to me is a major concern, let alone the financial part of it that all teams are going to have to pay, the travel, which is going to be daunting because now you got to worry about time zones and then get back to the States. How much is that going to affect your name? So,
right.
To me, the criminal aspect is serious because in the criminal circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about, you know, health and safety, that's one thing on top of it. But then also, if you bring out just the basic of things, that we see the difference with some teams with traveling to, you know, West Coast to East Coast, East Coast to West Coast, you know, being earlier, things like that. Things change, you know. I mean, it does affect your team, jet lag, stuff like that. But you know, with the NFL, even though they tell you that they care about safety things as well, they're going to move forward and do what they want. And it's worldwide expansion, you know. So they're going to try and do it, but they're going to put it this way and say, hey, we're expanding and we're going to do it the safest and most logical way for our players as well as you know, families and stuff. But we're moving forward, you know, and it's something like that, something that sounds a lot of different words, you know, and saying we still care about it. We're going to do it the best way here. And, you know, they're well taken care of. They're going to have meals. They're set up in great hotels and blah, blah, blah. And who knows, maybe what it'll take is some of these guys actually take photos of some of the hotels they're in, post it to social media and stuff like that, then get that sort of like buzz going out. You know, I mean, we saw this kind of what was it Darius Slay, I think, that posted some stuff, you know, things like that. It's like, hey, they're telling us to get locked up in here, don't leave, stuff like that. And if you get starting some of these guys boosting some of this stuff, maybe that will change some of it. But with,
thing that I'll mention too. What's the long is almost the whole that you're going to your countries. That's a lot. That's going to be one that, but it's going to drain a made that very
Yeah, and, you know, with Roger Goodell also in the same breath saying that we're looking to extend the season, you know, 18 games and the bye week. Now this sets up everything, too, I think, to where they try and plan these extra international games with these extra bye weeks. So they kind of can say and justify the fact that, hey, we're doing this traveling stuff like that, but then those teams will also get these bye weeks after to rest up and things like that. And like you said, it's just. Right.
Let's just face it. So, as much as everybody, how about the health? It's all bullshit.
All right, let's just look here quick. Again, I have this lit up. Let's see if I can do this through sharing my screen. Here we go. Let's see if this works here. I'm going to do this right here. All right, this is what I got right now. And this is the teams where they're facing and, you know, really focusing on are the regions. And you notice some of the smaller ones, as I'm going to scroll down, they only have like an 18 there. So I think that's sprinkling in to try and get it started. But what you talked about, Mexico's there, a lot of teams. Austria. So if you're talking about expansion coming soon, I'm thinking Austria is going to be one of the next ones. There's Germany. And then Switzerland, I think, potentially. And you also had it brought up Canada. But Switzerland could potentially be another market that they kind of jump in. Because they have that many more teams there, it seems like they can market a few more of those teams in those games there. If I can judge it by how many teams are able to promote there. But, again, how far, you know, east are you going into Europe, you know, because again, you're just going farther in. I can understand if you're talking about London, it's a jump over the pond from New York or the East Coast to kind of go over there. It's still a long flight. But then if you're going from playing a West Coast game in LA and California and you want to take a flight to Japan over there, it's not going to kill you either as much, but going further deeper, you know, like if you want to say China, but then even the opposite way, then depends on how far out you go to where it's more taxing on everybody. So ultimately, Joe, you know, they're going to do whatever's for them, you know, and it's they're just going to do it anyways. So we have no say in it.
One thing that I want to say. We showed the graphic up there of like the teams being placed, you know, as homes basically.
Yeah.
As facilitators of growing their brand.
Their brand.
My problem with that is the fact that if you're the NFL and you want to grow the whole NFL, let the fan base, let the fans choose what team they want.
Right.
Don't try to force the Saints down someone's throat. It should be about all the teams, not just one specific team in each of these other countries like Ghana. You know what I mean? So it's like, you should be saying, hey, this is what we have to offer. These are all 32 teams. Now, it's fine if you want to put a NFL officer in charge of that country, but they should be promoting all the teams, not just one specific one or six of them. It should be they let the fans choose what team they want to roll with.
Right, right. And then just let it all fall into place or whatnot. Right. Or, you know, give everybody a shot. You know, I mean, you want to market anybody. And if they grab onto any one of those teams, you got to be excited about it. So it makes me wonder if the teams just bid for it. And then it's the NFL having another shot. Like, these guys bid for this one to do this or whatever. And that's why we're putting them there. So you never know what goes on behind closed doors for these guys. So, all right. So, Joe, it is time to get to our picks. Here we go. I've got a better graphic this week, and there we go. I made that, you know, from our other show, the Football on the No Show, which we are cross-broadcasting right now. So right now we are marked as the Blindside Blitz, but we are also broadcasting through Football on the No Show. So any one of our know-it-alls out there and our local fans out there, you know, which we call know-it-alls that are viewing, we appreciate you guys joining in with us too. And if you haven't seen this yet, we are also the Blindside Blitz, which you could check us out every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We did change the time this week due to the presidential or the vice presidential debate because, again, Rumblings Media that we do work with is a political based, I guess, company in the scope of things, but they had also expanded their horizons into entertainment and sports now, which we are part of. Along with they've got a basketball podcast and things like that. Joe, tell everybody where they can find podcasts like ours and then more at Grumblings Media.
It's very simple. Head over to Grumblings Media, right, on YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Also hit the thumbs up while you're there. Share the video to all your friends and family members that love talking NFL. Yeah. That's what this show's all about, right. Whether it be on Blindside Blitz, whether it be on our other show on Football on the Know. Make sure you head over to the YouTube channel, whether it be Football on the Know, hit the subscribe button. Grumblings Media, hit the subscribe button. Make sure, and we are the best. I'm sorry, it's self-proclaimed, but we are the best and most NFL interactive talk show out there. We want to prove it to everybody out there. We, what was it, last week, I believe, we had comments rolling in left and right, and we were staying right on top of it, but still got to talk about our topics. That's what the show's all about. It's about being interactive. It's about helping each other out. Sometimes, you know what? Me and Jim, we stumble on some things. And then you guys out there help us correct it. And that's what the show is. Also,
right. We don't mind you guys fact checking us every now and then.
Head over to grumblingsmedia.com. You can, right there, Jim just mentioned it earlier that you can go there to their website and check out other podcasts that they have available. Entertainment, sports, political, you name it, it's there. And, of course, you can follow us anywhere you get your podcasts and take us on the go and still be on the NFL Pulse.
That's right. And to know at all times. Joe, here you go. Here's the graphic. I did pull it up. We got a slow start this year, but, you know, I don't think anybody's picked really well. This one really slow. Dude, so right now I'm at 500. Bad. You're just one terrible. Over. Yeah, so right now this is our worst season yet.
It is horrible, bro.
Yeah, right? Isn't that crazy? But But we'll pick
very
it up.
Bothered
I think well, some of these teams, the identities are so Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, you just don't know. So you got to look at matchups, I guess, though, and how these guys are going to,
even then, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, too. Because I think some of the picks I even went with, like even the Baltimore game, I was like, Baltimore, you know, obviously wants to string up another one together. Buffalo on the winning streak, but they're due for a loss, you know what I mean? And what a team to face them than the Ravens to get that loss. So it made sense to me. That was one of the ones I was able to get right out of very few. So, but here we go. I'm going to cue up the music, Joe. I'm going to go with the rock music this time. You know, I'm excited about that. And I think that's going to be our music for the rest going through just because it's amped up. It's our style. And here we go. All right. Here we go. We got Thursday night. Let's play the music already. Damn it. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Atlanta Falcons. See, this is one of those games, too, where I'm not sure what I'm getting every time. Atlanta, when I kind of, you know, bowed out on them, you know, they end up pulling out that victory against the Saints here at home, where the Saints have kind of had their number and the way the Saints started off this season and now kind of tapered down. Like, what the hell is going on, you know? So this is a tough one. Atlanta's going to be playing at home again, but The Buccaneers fire back last week, too, after, you know, stumbling a week prior. So both teams kind of could be on the rise. But who, you know, in a rivalry game here in the same division, who do you got in this one? Who are you going to take in this one?
Well, this one's tough, man. Like, a lot of the games that we've kind of been perplexed on that we see are going to be pretty close games. Listen, division rivalry, like, they're always close. Always awesome matchups. Falcons. Here's the interesting part about this matchup. It's the fact that the Falcons have, we talk about relationships. There's that used to work with Baker Mayfield, that used to work with the Buccaneers. And the fact that he is so, he knows the offense that they want over there. So that to me is a huge advantage for him as a whole. They're right back, but get pretty missing this week. I still don't know if he's going to be, but possibly. But one key factor for the Falcons. Ends up injuring his knee. He's going to be on a short week. One kind of like a loss. The Buccaneers, man, they have been playing lights out. What if they had been after a week and it made he got brought back down to the earth. But I think this is one of those things where like both teams went. They both want to beat each other hands down. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're also injured. They're also banged up. They're a star-studded D-tackle who creates a lot of pressure. And on Winfield, is going to Cerveza. He's going to be out. Luke, offensive tackle. He's so you're seeing a list of a lot of key players. All that, that's something that we're going to have. But I love with Baker Mayfield, this offense has been I think this is one very, very easily pick the Falcons, even though they are banged up. I still think the Buccaneers are playing at such a level of football that the
I think he broke up just a little bit there, Des. So did you go with the Buccaneers?
Yes, the Buccaneers.
You're chopping up a little bit. I don't know if it's just here or if that's the stream or not, so I don't know what's going on, but that's weird. Okay. Hopefully, yeah. Okay. All right, Joe's going to go with him. All right, so, yeah, I mean, this could go either way here, too. It's going to be a tough matchup. Buccaneers have been playing really well. They've got, I would say even better talent at the wide receiver position than the Falcons. And
there we go.
Yeah. But you got to look at Kirk Cousins here and what Kirk Cousins are going to get out of this team, and it's very inconsistent I think right now, and something maybe that the Minnesota Vikings were even kind of starting to see a little bit why they were even comfortable with moving on with him, and maybe in the fact that the Falcons wanted to go out and get Michael Penix in the draft. So I'm not exactly sold on what's going on with Atlanta. There's a lot of question marks here, so I think I'm going to go with you too as well in Tampa Bay, who was making the playoffs last year, was making that push, did take the division, until I see some more sample sizes, I guess, of what the Atlanta Falcons have. I'm going to roll with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, next up now, Sunday. We talked about it Sunday morning in London, the Jets and the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota undefeated right now, 4-0. And the Jets, again, 2-2. not really looking so good. If you look at their games all together, there wasn't a game, I think, the first game against the 49ers, they kept it closed, and you're like, okay, this is, like I said, that might be the litmus test and how good this Jets team could possibly be. But then faltering to other teams that shouldn't be in their wheelhouse, I guess, in a sense, like even the Broncos have kind of turned into and pulled off two wins back-to-back, but not really doing anything really offensively, even really, that's, you know, scary. So last week's game with the Jets, very low scoring and things like that, grind them out to where the Jets had multiple opportunities. And if you've got to be one of those contender type of teams, especially you've got Aaron Rodgers, things like that, you've got to be able to pull out games like this and win and uh-huh. and dominate in a game like that, to where you're going against a rookie quarterback who's still learning and everything. You've got Aaron Rodgers and then, you know, some good weapons there, good running back. And that defense actually turned up again to hold, you know, the team to only with 10 points. You got to pull out victories like that. So this is going to be tough for them going against a team to where it didn't matter, it seemed like, week to week who it was. Justin Jefferson was still getting open. The team was just scoring nonstop. Sam Darnold, pretty much flawless, not very, very few mistakes, and that's all you wanted to ask out of Sam Darnold right now as a starter for this team, is keep it simple. Don't make mistakes that's going to kill us. Just don't kill us in the game. And, you know, you also have that great cushion there of having such a great receiver, and Justin Jefferson, just throw it up to him. He's going to get open. He's going to make some plays for you. So yeah. With this one here, I think for me, I'm going to ride high with your team finally. I'm going to jump on the bandwagon here with the Minnesota Vikings here until I see more from the Jets too. I mean, I would like to see the Jets here kind of even the score in this and trying to get back into this, which I think they should be able to. But they haven't shown me anything yet. They're not on the same page offensively at all. So I'm liking what the Vikings are doing.
No, and it's not just that either. The offense isn't playing well. The defense, surprisingly, is nothing like we expected. Not a top five defense at all. Not playing even remotely close to a top five. And the offense is struggling, as you mentioned. Even though they're getting a little bit better offensively, it seems like every week they seem to get a little bit better. It's just not enough. For the Vikings, this is a team that's been red hot from week one. For a lot of the naysayers about Sam Darnold, he can't be a starter and all this thing. We tried to tell you guys to keep an open mind when Sam Darnold went to Minnesota. We tried to tell you guys that he was going to be a difference maker like he was always supposed to be. And now he finally has support with Kevin O'Connell. The Minnesota Vikings are shredding teams offensively. Defensively, playing well above what we thought they were capable of, and locking teams down. It's no different this week. I know they're playing the Jets. Minnesota is playing such good football that it's hard to ignore. You can't ignore it. The Jets, I do feel that this might be closer than people anticipate, but I still think the Vikings come away with a win.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, next on the Carolina Panthers and the Chicago Bears. Chicago is kind of turned it up here and got the offense going, but that defense really is what they really hang in there on. Carolina showed some life since Andy Dalton has stepped in. They were in a close game last week, but still just unable to pull out the victory. I think this is going to be a tough game, too. It's going to be tighter, especially now that you've got Andy Dalton here starting for the Carolina Panthers. But Chicago, again, I think on that defense at home, you saw what they did last week too. Just step up a little bit here. I think this is a winnable game for them. I think they're starting to get the offense going a little more week to week. I don't think they're going to really light it up for me again, I don't think, this week. But I think if they do enough to get the victory at home.
Funny because like the Bears. Definitely a team that is playing at a high level, especially on the other hand. Even though he had a couple of nice plays in that game, I gotta say, he still struggled throughout the first half or so of football. So I'm not buying it. I think that Chicago's still going to continue to struggle, especially offensively. The Carolina Panthers, hey, who knew? They just needed to make a quarterback change, and this team was going to be something special
already.
I mean, yeah, they destroyed the Raiders. They made them look bad in their own turf. And with a consummate veteran at the quarterback position, like Andy Dalton, who has that experience, he's just doing what he needs to do. Distribute the football to the open players and let them make plays afterwards. Xavier Leggett, one of the rookie wide receivers we told you guys to watch out for, is now becoming a big part of this offense and is going to be dangerous for the continuing season. Panthers, they're going to come in a little bit banged up, but nobody's going to be really missing the game that much. So Deontay Johnson obviously is a little banged up this week. He didn't practice as of today, but I look for him to kind of get better as the week goes. I got the Panthers in this one, guys. Red Rifle strikes again and gets another win for the Carolina Panthers.
I'm happy when I'm playing.
Nice. All right. So next we've got the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals actually putting some points up and scoring again, but this was that game that I said that was closer than it should have been. They played all Andy Dalton and the Carolina Panthers, and there was a time in this where, oh boy, you know, I mean, the Cincinnati better pull this one out, you know, and they did, and luckily it was just because they were playing the Panthers. They're going to have a tougher time here. For some reason, again, this Cincinnati team isn't connecting here and running on all cylinders. It just doesn't look the same. And Baltimore, I think, is starting to hit their stride again. It's not like they were struggling early on. They played a lot of tough teams, but they get in that mode where we said where they kind of get ahead, too, and then they kind of back off a little bit here or something, feel comfortable in that win, and then they allow teams back in. They almost did it last week. Week before last, they did it, you know, with the Cowboys. They can't do it here with the Cincinnati Bengals because they will get them here. But I feel confident in what the offense has been doing here with the Baltimore Ravens and that defense, where early on they struggled at times. Even Marlon Humphrey made a few mistakes here and there, but it seems like now with Kyle Hamilton and those guys, it seems like they're really gelling again and kind of get back to what they do, and that's Ravens' tough defense. So I like the Ravens in this one.
Yeah, we talk about the Ravens, the run game. That's the real reason why the team played so much better. You look at Derrick Henry running through people, having that huge yards for gain. Like, this guy is an amazing running back, and it's funny because he doesn't look fast, but he's extremely fast for his size. Mm-hmm. He got up to like 20 miles an hour last week on that long run that he had. And this team is going to feed off of Derrick Henry. If Derrick Henry is successful in running the football, watch out for Baltimore. That's what's going to make them extremely dangerous. It's going to take a lot of pressure off of Lamar Jackson. It's going to take a lot of pressure off this offense. And they're going to be able to not only just ground and pound and run the football, but it's also going to open up passing opportunities down the field. The Ravens' defense, the reason why they didn't look good in the beginning of the season, because their offense sucked. It's that simple. Their offense was stagnant. They couldn't figure out an answer, and that's why they struggled. Now you're seeing with the progression of the offense getting better, and now the defense is thriving and feeding off of that, they play better as a team. That's what it comes down to. Baltimore, going into Cincinnati, they are going to have to try to run the football yet again against a very tough D-line for the Bengals, a team that is going to be looking to try to stuff Derrick Henry. That's the game plan. We said to beat the Ravens a couple weeks ago, you must stop the run. If you stop the run, you have a really good chance of stopping that offense. So for the Bengals, that's the game plan. Offensively, the Bengals finally figured something out last week. It looked like they looked like the Bengals offensive old. Ja'Marr Chase, it helped that T. Higgins came back because that started to open up all avenues of passing. With Ja'Marr Chase no longer getting double teamed, this team looked like a completely different offense out there. I think the Bengals finally hit their stride on offense. This is a very tough matchup. It always has been. I think it does go down to the wire. But I'm going to trust the fact that the Ravens are going to continue to run the football and do it at a high level. I'm going with Baltimore going into Cincinnati and stealing a win.
Yep, absolutely. I agree with you on that one as well. And unfortunately, too, I'm just going to bring this up here, too. For some reason, by running two streams again, I wasn't able to get some of the comments. We did have a comment from Mike Tackett earlier. I don't know if you were able to see it, so we missed it, and I apologize, Matt, Mike. So that's one of our OG know-it-alls. If he happens to keep listening, he did ask if he saw if we saw Devontae Adams reuniting with Aaron Rodgers with the Jets, and we did kind of bring that up in a sense of like it's a potential thing. It makes sense. It could help them. So, Mike, if you are out there listening again, we apologize. And to answer your question, I think we could see it, but it would take a little bit finagling with that contract, obviously, and what at what cost for the Jets.
It makes a lot of sense, and I think it's definitely one of the potential buyers for Devontae Adams services. It does make sense. I think they could make it work financially. They're one of the few teams that have the ability to probably make it work that doesn't have necessarily a ton of cap space, but I think they have enough. So it'll be interesting to see the battle that is going to happen between like a bidding war for several other teams that are already. That list could extend if it's going into next week, which it sounds like it's going to. I know the Raiders and Adams both want to get the trade done as soon as possible, but it seems like Raiders are going to take their time a little bit longer before they make a decision.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. Now moving on to the games again. We've got Miami, the Miami Dolphins, and the New England Patriots. Let me say
a barn burner.
Yeah, and let me say this now. Who would have ever expected that if you take Tua Tagovailoa out of the mix, that Miami would be this bad? Right, Joe?
Progress that you have.
And and that's what's funny, because again, we looked at Tua, we looked at his output that he put out last year. You know, he was potential MVP candidate, and that makes a difference. It really does. What he had done, how he has grown as a quarterback. And we even thought, you know, we decided to roll the dice on Tyler Huntley. You know, he's been successful before. Pick up the offense here. At least be capable with the weapons that they had here. But still not enough here. And Miami's reeling. It seems like right on the average they're putting up 15 points a game or so, at least at this point. So this is going to be a closer game probably than anybody would have ever expected before here. And to where as such, for me, I think I might have to side with the New England Patriots here in that wind-whipping stadium there in New England. So I'm going to go with the Patriots there, Gerard Mayo, to get things done and beat the Miami Dolphins.
Honestly, I'm not buying either team.
Yeah. We're going to go for the tie again.
Huntley, the facts are, you know, Huntley that came in was seen as not only just a veteran quarterback, but also a guy who's had success in Baltimore as a starter when he was able to play. He just got there 2 weeks ago, so he's still learning the playbook. That's why it was so limited last week. You saw them just not being able to figure things out, and obviously Huntley was not comfortable at all. So hopefully another week of preparation, another week of game planning is going to help him. Not only that, but also Miami's getting back Odell Beckham Jr. this week. So another wide receiver that they're going to install into the offense that should open some things up for them. Now, going forward for Miami, as long as it takes for Tua to come back, it sounds like Tua won't be back until week 8 or week 9 at this point. That is going to be a while from this time right now. So they have to make things work, try to keep the boat afloat, so to speak, and get wins when they can. This is a game where Miami is a must-win for them. They have to win to try to help keep this team in from sinking, basically. So Huntley, another week of preparation. Hopefully he gets a little bit more comfortable with the offense, getting back some key components. For New England, they're very beat up. They just lost Mark Andrews, their center, for the season. He's going to have season-ending surgery. To be honest with you, their offensive line coming into the season wasn't too solid. They played pretty well in the beginning. Now it seems like it's going to fall apart. Without that guy calling the protections up front, it's going to mean a lot of miscues up front for the offensive blocking scheme. That's what I worry about. Brissett holding onto the football, Brissett not being able to distribute it quick enough. I feel like both teams, it's going to be a dismal game to watch. Don't watch this game, by the way. I don't care if you're a Dolphins fan and a Patriots fan. Just don't watch this game. It's going to be a tough one to watch. So that all being said, I just like the roster better for Miami. I'm going to give Huntley one other shot to kind of show people that, you know, he's not too far gone from playing quarterback. Maybe he gets a little bit more comfortable. I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins in this one just based off of roster. Not defensively, but more offensively. I feel like they might be able to put up just enough points to get the win in the end.
All right. Yeah, that should be exciting here. Oh, well, maybe this week we'll try and turn the tides here and try and get some more of these victories here.
We're trying, man. We're trying.
We'll see. Yeah, Cleveland Browns and the Washington Commanders. Again, maybe a few weeks ago or even when the season started and I took a look at this game, I would have just been like, well, young quarterback, we like him, but he's going to be growing with this offense. New regime in there. Then you've got that defense of the Cleveland Browns. Could be tough. Deshaun Watson, hopefully get, you know, things going this season. And now it's a completely different story. Offensive line banged up for the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
The defense has kind of looked mediocre for the Cleveland Browns. Deshaun Watson, again, has done okay, but again, seems like not on the same page with these guys or something like that. Can't get Amari Cooper. Like you said, it seems like nobody's getting open or something. Like, what's going on? You know, can't get it out to these guys. On the other hand, Washington, it seemed like all of a sudden, right after they played the Giants and they got stuffed in the red zone so many times, kicking all field goals, all of a sudden there's a conversation had in the locker room or something, and they flipped the switch or something like that, or they finally unleashed Jaden Daniels, and then maybe that's really what it was. Like, here, it took the training wheels off and said, here you go, kid, let's go. And since then, they've looked forward and haven't looked back. And you've got that Dan Quinn defense here stepping up, too. So when you look at this one, Washington at home with the Cleveland Browns, who seem like they're just a mediocre team at this point, I think I'm riding high here with the Washington Commanders and what they're doing, and with the injuries on the offensive line here of the Cleveland Browns. I think I'm going to go with the Washington Commanders on this one.
Hey, talk about Jaden Daniels and how all of a sudden it seems like, oh, man, can he throw the football? Oh, man, what a playmaker. It was because they had training wheels on the guy in the beginning of the season. They weren't allowing him to possibly make poor decisions or possibly, you know, screw up some of the plays. You know, they wanted to make sure that he understood the playbook before releasing the whole playbook. And that's what you really notice. After being stagnant in the very beginning of the season, they tried to run the ball down people's throats. And it worked to some extent, but not enough to get wins. Now that they've taken those training wheels off of Jaden Daniels, allowing him to play his game, allowing him to not only just throw the ball, but also include the running in the game plan every week, it's put defenses on their heels. And Jaden Daniels has capitalized week after week now with this, if you want to call it, revitalized offense. But basically, they just opened it up finally. They purged the valve. They opened it all the way. And now guys like Terry McLaurin are benefiting from it. All the wide receivers are benefiting from it. Hell, even old man Zach Ertz is still playing at tight end, is benefiting from it. So that going with the running attack is really playing well. And then on top of it all, the defense that we've been heavily criticizing in the first couple of weeks, they're also playing better because the offense is putting up points. Mm-hmm. So they're not being held to a standard where you got to stop it every offense every single week. You're going to have to make a difference. Washington is now becoming and actually being seen right now as one of these top NFC East teams to watch out for. Despite Jaden Daniels being a rookie, hell, me and Jim knew it from day one when we watched him in college. We told you guys that Jaden Daniels is not only just going to be a really good quarterback, he's going to be a phenomenal quarterback for the foreseeable future. And it's already starting in his rookie year. Washington, there's no doubt about it. I have to go with Washington Commanders in this one because they are playing so much better offensively, and in turn, defense is starting to rise up. It's an easy one for me.
All right. Shout out to Carmen Jackson.
What's up, Carmen?
Carmen, hey, what's up? She says, hi, guys. Hey, what's up? Leave a comment here. Go ahead. Make some picks here. Let us know what you got to say here in this one.
Hashtag know-it-alls.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you showed up a little late, but hey, go back and watch the rest of it too.
All good.
Indianapolis Colts now, Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville is a dumpster fire.
We have to pick this game.
And again, what's funny now is I think let's even do a selfless plug here. Points on the Board was on and without us, you know, this week, and they had I think it was Bill Ross, I think, joining them, and they talked about some of the young quarterbacks and even the miscues of some of the wrong young quarterbacks and are they getting rushed ahead too quick and things like that. And I think to an extent, some of them, but when you do see something like maybe it's just, you know, not exactly I think with Anthony Richardson, but hit and miss, but if you see some of these guys struggling and then now you put like a veteran in and the veteran makes a difference that much quickly, that is it worth these guys sitting back, listening to a veteran, watch a veteran, learn from them, and then become a starter before you throw them right into the fire. You know, like we've got Anthony Richardson, starter right off the bat, got injured, and now he started this year right off the bat, but now he's banged up. Joe Flacco comes in, turns it around, kind of gets a victory here for them. You know, we saw with Andy Dalton here in the Carolina Panthers here, but Joe Flacco steps up in his role, you know what I mean? And he also brought up, I think, the fact that Cleveland didn't even bother to give him, you know, any kind of offer or anything to stick around at all. And he's kind of seems, disgruntled about that in the situation, you know, to at least fight for the job because he did so well for them with Deshaun Watson not playing very well. So he could have been a go-to again if they had to. But stepping in at the reins for the Indianapolis Colts and getting a victory, does that change the outlook of the way this team is?
I mean, I think it definitely depends on if Flacco is going to be the starter going forward, because Anthony Richardson, despite his injury last week, it seems like he's on pace to come back really soon. I feel like that's the one problem for the Colts is that they've heavily invested in Anthony Richardson. They're going to try to continue to make this work. And unless his injury keeps him out, that's the only way I see Flacco staying in. Obviously, if it gets to the point where they're out of the playoff race, because let's face it, the Colts are still, they're just like any other team. They're all all vying for that playoff spot, all still trying to get there. Once they know that they don't have a shot, then maybe they put Flacco in for the remainder of the season. But when it doesn't matter, though. So Richardson, unless he's deemed out for the year, I still think it's Richardson's team. As much as I disagree, and I think Flacco should be the starter because he gives him the best chance to win. But I also will say, too, about the quarterbacks being put in too early. I think it depends on the quarterback you get, honestly. We already knew when Jaden Daniels got drafted, he not only deserved to be the starter right away, but also was able to handle it because he was ready. A lot of these quarterbacks now that are being drafted, especially high, a lot of them are already NFL ready to go. They don't need a whole lot of development. They don't need, you know, a lot of the P's and Q's that they got to learn at the next level. Yes, there's still development going on. They're still young. They're still going to make some mistakes. But very few quarterbacks every year, and it depends on the guy, like we said before, they don't need to sit out a whole year. A lot of these quarterbacks are being groomed to play right away. Now, there's exceptions. Obviously, if you miss and you fall in love with a quarterback, like Anthony Richardson, for example, he was a top five pick. I didn't think he deserved to be top five pick. Neither did you, Jim. We both had question marks about him. And now it's rearing its ugly head now. Even after his injury, coming back healthy this season, he still hasn't answered any of the questions that we've had. He can't throw the football on a regular basis. He makes poor decisions. He turns the ball over from time to time. Is he going to give you some splash plays once in a while? Of course. He's too gifted not to. But again, is he the real quarterback that the Colts need for the future? As of right now, it doesn't look like it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so then we just made a talking point out of this lousy game. So that we were successful in that one, Joe.
We did.
But again, Indianapolis Colts, Jacksonville Jaguars – I want to kind of tip my hat to the Colts, but I just don't know about them either. In Jacksonville, again, I still think, even though Trevor Lawrence hasn't played very well, I still think they have some talent here. They have something to show still here. So I think this is going to be my last-ditch effort to pick the Jacksonville Jaguars before I write them completely off. And I'm just going to pick against them every game this season, no matter what. So I'm going to go with the Jags at home to beat the indecisive Colts.
And that's the thing, too, is so far on the injury report, it shows that Anthony Richardson was a limited participant in practice, which means most likely he's starting this week. So I don't know how much you're going to read into that. Like, he could possibly get re-injured again and then lead the team or lead the game. Joe Flacco comes in. I think Joe Flacco, if he's starting this game, or if he even gets into the game midway, I think he kind of helps his team win. Obviously, it's a big if, but then again, this team is not unscathed. Look, you look at their offensive line has taken some hits. Braden Smith didn't practice today. Ryan Kelly didn't practice today, their center. Then you look at their pass rusher in Quiddy Pay, another guy who didn't practice. Linebacker Zay Franklin, who, if you watched the Colt game last week, was amazing, was all over the football field. He has an illness, but it seems like it's not going to keep him out. I get them at the end of the week. Jacksonville, another team. Man, have they fallen face so much? It seems like the last 4 weeks, everyone's company just haven't been able to get on the field. Last week, we saw Pine and Kirk being involved. But, man, it should not be up. Already, people are calling for Doug Peterson's head as a head coach. He's on the hot seat. No doubt about it, being 0-4. So I think I just can't rock with Jacksonville right now. I just can't. Even though Richardson, is what he is, I'm going to stick with the Colts in this one. I have a hard time picking Jaguars because they're playing me. They still managed to give it up.
Okay, next up we got the Buffalo Bills and the Houston Texans. What a game. The Josh Allen's reunited with Stephon Diggs. Houston, even though, again, it's kind of funny when we look at this team. Last year they kind of came off on fire. They're an up-and-coming team. We had expectations. A lot of, we had certain expectations. Media has bigger expectations because they're the team to beat. Now watch out. Now it kind of seems like this season they're a little more still dragging out, pounding out some games, some losses too. So it's a little rough road for them starting and moving out forward, but still a good team. And this is going to be a great matchup, I think. The Buffalo Bills wiping their mouth, the blood off their mouth from that last game. They just want to forget to where they, just took Josh Allen out of the game early to rest them up, and submitted to the Baltimore Ravens. To where now you play the Houston Texans here at home, but they're not the juggernaut that a lot of people are kind of looking at. So I think this is going to be a tight game, but I think I will give the edge to the Buffalo Bills just because, again, I think experience with coaching, the quarterback, things like that, to that aspect, I think they have just that slightest bit of advantage, even though Houston is at home and they have all that talent. But I haven't seen a lot out of them that say they can kind of get over the echelon of beating a tough team like the Buffalo Bills have looked this season.
Yeah, I mean, this is a weird one, honestly. The Buffalo Bills, they still aren't themselves. Like, Josh Allen has willed them to get some wins because he's really had to take the team and put it on its back and run for a lot of the touchdowns and make some plays happen. You're looking at a team now coming into this week's match. Full practice this week. I know we still got that left-hand issue, but it's not as a glaring problem. Khalil Shakir, to me, that's the big one. That didn't practice today, and I don't know if his ankle issue is going to hold him out of this week's matchup, but if it does, I don't think this offense is going to run very well. Like, you already have Keon Coleman heavily rely on your two tight ends to make things happen. And I think they still do that. But again, when you're down another wide receiver like Khalil Shakir for them, it's going to put a little bit more of a challenge for that offense going forward. Now, for the Houston Texans, we've been waiting for Joe Mixon to come back for the Texans. I feel like that's the big piece for them that's been missing, and that's the reason why this offense really hasn't been able to be what it was in week one. Joe Mixon, when he was able to run the football with his team, they fed off of that and were able to, you know, fill in defenses with that. With Joe Mixon running and then him throwing the football, it was a nice 1-2 punch. You also got to remember, too, Tank Dell looks like he's coming back this week. So adding another piece to the arsenal. Mixon didn't practice today, but I can't turn this whole offense all the way around. I like the Texans' defense. It's going to be, like Jim mentioned earlier, Diggs returns. It's going to be Diggs versus Josh Allen type of moment. People link up. They're going to shake hands. They're going to give the bro hug and all that. But I'm going to go with Houston at home getting the win against Buffalo.
All right. Next up, the Vegas Raiders and the Denver Broncos. Raiders now is dealing with the Davante Adams situation here. Inconsistency at quarterback. The Denver Broncos still pulling out victories, but basically because of the way that defense has really held a lot of teams in check. And, you know, effectively, you know, running the ball and things like that. Bo Nix, you know, has done a little better, but not really. If you look at his numbers, it's really bad. You know what I mean? So somehow with Sean Payton, they've been able to move the ball and make things happen. But like I said, mainly on that the backs of the defense. So that kind of scenario has now kind of made this game a little tighter in my mind. You know, because now I don't know. Is Denver starting to maybe have a shot to try and get some of these things together? Are they going to start clicking? So somehow they have two wins here. Vegas, though, again, they're up and down. You know, it seems like a roller coaster to me again. Like you said, that defense has been good, but then again, you lose to a Carolina team and things like that. Gardner Minshew is enough to get you some wins, but he's not the guy still altogether. And you still have, you know, Davante Adams still there and stuff. So, I mean, you should be able, and Brock Bowers, I mean, you should be able to get something going here on the offensive side of the ball as well. But it's just a crapshoot with this, and I do not know what to expect with these teams at all, like either of them. So I'm going to let you start on this one. You know your team.
It's pretty easy, actually. They're you know, wrong mix. Really good plays, but the turnovers are also, you know, and that's kind of the Broncos, you know, and people overlook them. But these two teams are Raiders had a much better defense. They have way more weapons. The problem has been, and everyone keeps saying, oh, it's the offensive line, da 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 da. Listen, there's no Davante Adams this week. There will be no Davante Adams in a Vegas Raiders jersey going forward because we know that they're going to try to trade him. Mm-hmm. So I don't expect him being there, but there's other guys that have stepped up last week. You look at Trey Tucker for the Raiders, who kind of took over a big role last week for them. Jacoby Myers is still there. Obviously, you just mentioned Brock Bowers, Jim, Michael Mayer. You know, the running backs, here's the interesting part about that. We complained a lot about Zamir White not being able to figure out and get some big runs on his part. But this backup, his counterpart, and Alexander Mattison has been amazingly productive for the Raiders. I look this week for that kind of touches competition to change. You might see a more evenly balanced, you know, touch ratio between Zamir White and Alexander Mattison because Madison's getting the job done, whether it be in the receiving game or running right between the tackles. He's just simply the better back. If the Raiders do that and shift more focus on getting Madison the ball in the backfield, this could be a very different game. Gardner Minshew, you mentioned it earlier, Jim, how he's helping them get wins. honestly, it's not even him. It's just the defense has been playing so well. It's been giving them opportunity after opportunity to stay in the game and let alone win it. So Minshew, I don't think, will be the reason, once again, that they even come close to a win. I think it's going to be a team effort, really. And that's going to be the deciding factor where I feel the Raiders are going to get another win. And this is a team that you should beat. Denver isn't lighting the league on fire yet. You know, they're still working out the kinks with the rookie. So I think that you make them one-dimensional as a defense. You attack Bo Nix and get after him. And then when it's time for you to get the ball, you need to sustain long drives no matter what you have to do and score at the end. I got the Raiders in this one.
All right. I think I'm going to, again, side with your advice here, too, because, again, I was looking at it. I'm not sure about the Denver Broncos. I'm not really – you know, obviously, I don't like the quarterback at all. So it just makes my pick for the Raiders a little easier here. Again, but I'm doing it very gingerly or whatever you want to say. Very cautiously. Because we do have to pick one out of these teams, right? On some of these games. We have to pick all these games. We can't handpick.
Terrible.
All right, we got the Arizona Cardinals and the San Francisco 49ers. Arizona, you know, has been a little bit of a surprise to some way this offensive kind of run. But I think they've even come down to earth a little bit here, too. San Francisco dealing with the injuries that they are. But ultimately, they're just a better overall team. And I don't even remember even the last time they lost to Arizona, but I think it hasn't been in a while. I could check that, but... San Francisco always plays better at home. Again, Brock Purdy, I like what he's doing. Again, Juwan Jennings, those guys, him. I would like to see more of Ayuk. We talked about Ayuk potentially being part of a Davante Adams trade, and I think that would benefit both teams. I think that would work with them if they do decide to pull that out, because that's just a difference maker for them as well. And San Francisco also has the money to pay him. Cool. But San Francisco, like I said, all together, I think that their weapons are there, too. Better coaching at this point, to an extent, except for you don't count Super Bowls. I like the San Francisco 49ers.
It's hard not to like the 49ers. We mentioned earlier in the show Ricky Parasol on how they had him on the roster. His practice return window starts today. You could even see him in limited participant, you know, leading up to this game. They still have to obviously put him on the active roster, but I definitely expect him. If he misses this week, he'll definitely be back next week. But it's a little bit of a positive for the Niners. Mm-hmm. Also, the other on the downside, George Kittle did not practice this game or this day either. So we'll have to kind of evaluate that going throughout the rest of the season. However, safety, Halanoa Hufanga, who has been a lockdown piece at the safety position, has practiced finally. It looks like he's going to make his return this week, which is going to make this defense even scarier and better. But that's really all the injuries of the Niners.
Yeah.
So, honestly, like this game, I'm not even going to really spend too much time on it, but I think even with, let's just say George Kittle doesn't make the game, they hold Debo out another week, I don't think it's really going to make much of a difference. I'm going to go the next way to get the win.
All right. Here we go. We got a couple of real good matchups here in the last remaining of the part of the games, at least in my point of view. Green Bay Packers, the Los Angeles Rams here. Rams at home. Rams, again, for me, they kind of – was it last week, too? Last week, I think they let me down here. I thought they had an opportunity to win, against Chicago, and then just kind of laid an egg against Chicago. Really surprised me here because Chicago hasn't been able to do anything offensively, really get it together. And Matthew Stafford has said, like, here you go, next man up, make it work, and it has worked. You know, Kyren Williams there. And it hasn't really happened here for them in the last late ability. And if you look at Green Bay Packers, you said it last week, Jordan Love, you know, coming back, you know, from the injury early, but this year, even before the injury, not looking too good, not looking like the Jordan Love of last year. And this is where almost a kind of it's buyer beware when we talk about that contract. You're like, hey, we're trying to get ahead of this thing. Let's pay him now so we don't have to pay him later for the big bucks and stuff. So let's be on top of this. And he gets the big deal, you know, at the time, highest paid, you know. And he's mediocre at this point, you know what I mean? His touchdown to interception ratio is just about almost 50-50 at this point. So hopefully he can get it turned around here, but it's going to be a tough matchup here against the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, and Packers defense has actually been playing pretty darn good. I mean, last week didn't look too great at times, but I got to say, despite Love coming, I feel like Jordan Love came back too early, honestly. I feel like that he's going to have to shake some rust off. And that was last week. That's exactly what you obviously, he has the offense, and as long as he just kind of sticks to what he knows and what he's capable of doing, I feel like this team will get right back on track. There's no concern there. For the Rams, not in the fact that I think they're done for the season, not going to play. They can't wait to get Puka Nacua back. They can't wait to get Puka back on the ground and running well. But I think until that happens, you don't have your key players. It's going Packers in this matchup. I feel like they're going to get in the Rams. They're going to continue to fall down until...
All right, yeah. So, I mean, this is going to be a tough one to pick here. Again, this is tough because I think this is going to be a really close game. But you know what? I think I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers here, I guess, just because of health issues, I guess, to this extent. And like you said, potentially Jordan Love being able to get back to where he was, and you've got Josh Jacobs to run the rock to on top of it, too. If they play it safe and able to effectively run the ball, I think that would help them out tremendously. All right, so who'd you pick in this one? Did you?
I picked the Packers.
All right, sorry. It got choppy a little bit, and I wasn't able to pick that up, so I apologize for that. I know it's tough sometimes. Everybody out there, we're going remote on a few of these shows, and again, too, and sometimes the connection's a little off, so we apologize for that. that's true, too. He's not healthy right now. He's sick, so he's doing his best here. All right, the New York Giants and the Seattle Seahawks. The Giants, well, I was excited about that game. You know, let's look at last Thursday's game against the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Giants did what I hoped for them to do, to an extent. I think they were competitive. Malik Nabers getting his, and they were moving the ball. It seemed like they were keeping the Dallas Cowboys in check. I mean, they could have won that game. At the end, though, situational football is key. And for Brian Daboll to not know or understand the situation and the play calls that he did at the end of that game, I think, is unexcusable. When the defense holds, when the game is pretty much over, they're in field goal range. You know what I mean? This guy is going to be pretty much lights out and knock it in. Brad Aubrey's been at it from like 60-plus recently and just shanked it out of nowhere. Gives you life with 28 seconds, I think, or so left over. Yes, you have no timeouts, but they were playing the deep cloud, don't give up the big play zone, you know, defense. Everybody knows that watches football, dink and dunk, out routes, short yardage, get near there because it is just a field goal of a game, pretty much. You know what I mean? It's a close game. And the fact that they didn't. They would throw three to four deep balls right to where everybody in their secondary is just sitting there waiting for the ball. I mean, blows my mind, Joe. But, you know what I mean? I mean, do you agree with me on that here? You watched the end of that game with Brian Daboll?
Yeah, I did. And it's a little disappointing. The coaching just wasn't up to par. Going forward, Brian Daboll needs to... He did it before with the Buffalo... With the Giants, he's had success with them. Team caveat of all this, having Saquon Barkley than we thought, because... running purposes, defenses had to be even receiving outside of the belt, having that layer where defenses have to account for, nobody's seen of that. So you're seeing this offense it's just not enough for them.
Yeah, and I've said it, you know, and we've seen it, that Singletary has been playing pretty well for them, and Dallas has really given up the run the last couple weeks, except for last week against the Giants, so it looked like the Giants, the key to them was trying to run the ball effectively, because others have done that, and that was the formula to beat the Cowboys, and the Cowboys shut down the run. Like you said, it made them one-dimensional, and just went after Daniel Jones. But to kind of piggyback it with this next pick, too, as well, suffered some injuries on top of it, too. Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence on top of it, too. So they did lose some within that game, to in retrospect. So when it comes to the Giants. So we've got the Giants and the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle, you know, end up losing, I think it was last week here. But, you know, look pretty good. Competitive a lot every single week. They do play well at home. Giants, again, seem like they're kind of turning around, but I think Malik Nabers is still in the concussion protocol, right, Joe? I mean, because he was obviously concussed in that game, and he has been the lifeblood of that team, just much like Odell Beckham Jr. was for Eli in those latter years. He was doing everything, and he put everything out there for him to where he sacrificed his body to make some plays. To where actually begs the question for me, where's Jalin Hyatt in this, and what are they doing with him with routes and stuff like that, and how is he not able to get open to where his only other option besides Nabers was Darius Slayton, who obviously wasn't good enough either, was dropping wide open balls to where they could have won the game last week against the Cowboys as well. So, I mean, there was opportunities where they could have won, and just the talent's not there. It's all Nabers, and now without Nabers, it's just struggling. The defensive side has been able to create pressure, which I have seen too lately, with Brian Burns finally getting warmed up here, and now with people going after Brian Burns, Thibodeau able to get some pressure too as well. It's been nice to see, but with that being said, I don't think they have enough even to beat the Seattle Seahawks right now, especially at home. I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
For the Giants, I lay over them. Should be out there because fitting to the league. You gotta get them out there. Be surprised, but wait, what he's able to account? You get him out there with neighbors. Be like, especially. Attacking down the field. He's there. I don't understand the plan and more repetitions, but I just feel like that's something that should change. The Seattle Seahawks go. They played really well in Detroit last week. It was a type of honestly. Kudos to both teams. I feel like Seattle and Detroit played stellar.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you look at that score and you're like, defensively they both kind of sucked. I don't think so. I just think that both teams were playing so well that it was hard to stop either one. With that being said, Seattle returning back home with this one, I think Seattle is just a better team all around. I think Seattle gets the win.
All right, here now, as I touched with Dallas, facing injuries here to go into Pittsburgh and get a victory here. That defense looks still really good for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But again, I think how long, basically for the question here for the Pittsburgh Steelers is we already kind of noticed, I guess, in our aspect, because we broke this down a few different times and given our opinion on the Justin Fields situation. So it's borrowed time, but some people, again, want to question the fact that, hey, again, they've got their starter here moving on. He's a young guy. They can work on this. But we're looking at it on our aspect. It's borrowed time, and now is the time ticking down to where they're waiting for Russell Wilson to get back and start him as soon as they can.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. It's like right now on the participant finally practicing with that calf injury, but it seems like he's healthy enough to come back. Now it seems like he's healthier. He's ready to go. Russell Wilson can do right now, because if he's able to come in and distribute the football and make the offense run way better than what Fields could ever do, then why not just make the switch? Why hold raw? Because if Russell Wilson can play at a higher level and propel your offense to be at a higher level, then you already have the defense to back up. That you're just going to make the team overall better. So why wait? Definitely make the change now. So we don't know what's going to happen leading up to Sunday. I'm hoping, for Pittsburgh's sake, that they do, in fact, put Russell Wilson in. If they do put Russell Wilson in, I don't think this is a question. I think Pittsburgh wins this game against Dallas. I really do. I think that'll be the difference. But on the other hand, if they still decide to stay with Fields, I think that there's a very good chance that Dallas comes in and beats Pittsburgh up. I think they need that offense to run better. If Russell Wilson is there, I got Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right. I mean, this one is a tough game, too, for me, again. And Dallas, if they had their pass rushers there, I'd say this is a better chance for them, because now that defense can kind of hold tight and go after Justin Fields to make those mistakes. But you don't have your guys there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think Pittsburgh, they know that Dallas can't run either. This is obvious here. You know, we talked about it. We talked about it with some of the people that we've had on our show, too, all the experts out there, Tyler Dunn. Nobody's afraid of Zeke Elliott anymore. Doddle, they don't care. You know what I mean? There is no running game for the Dallas Cowboys. So it's go after Dak. Trying to get him rushing out of the pocket and make some mistakes. And that's what he's been doing as of late. So I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers as well. But like I said, if they weren't so banged up, you know, on their defensive line here and had Micah Parsons, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence, maybe would have picked the Dallas Cowboys on this one. All right, finally here for Monday Night Football, the New Orleans Saints and the Kansas City Chiefs. Joe, have you ever seen, like, let's look at the Minnesota Vikings, who are 4-0, and let's look at the Kansas City Chiefs, who are 4-0, right? Two different types of teams. The Vikings are playing on all cylinders, offensively, defensively. The Chiefs are just backdooring games left and right and just still finding a way to win. So that's why people are even so easy to jump on the referee situation, which we think that is an aspect to some of it, which we understand. But they still, again, are some of these teams and where they're playing these guys still manage to let them in despite playing poorly. I think, Patrick Mahomes, I think his touchdown to interception ratio is just about 50%, too. It's like he's got just as many or something, like one more touchdown than interceptions or something like that. His worst start of his career right now.
Yeah.
And Travis Kelce, non-existent. People talking about that. Hey, where is he? He had a lot of catches in the last game here, getting more involved. But again, they're not really lighting it up, right? You know what I mean? And some people maybe want to point it even to now with the fact that you don't have, you know, Rashi Rice is injured and things like that. Pacheco, you know, injured too. But we've seen this team win without the likes of those guys before. And they just don't look like that team anymore, Joe.
Right.
So it's kind of funny with this team, when you look at it, how far can they go living like this and playing like this? This is the time the team's got to pull out a win and get a win against these guys, because they are vulnerable and they need to do it. You know what I mean? So this game really troubles me, because I want to say Kansas City at home, because they do sit behind all the fans there. Who knows, maybe Taylor Swift will be traveling to Kansas City and be there. New Orleans Saints, they had shown us early on that they are capable of doing things like this. But as of late, you know, they've shown also that they've blown some games and let teams like this win. And this is what Kansas City has kind of excelled at in this season so far. What do you take from this game going forward here?
I mean, honestly, this is going to take a look at their card. Going to the once again. What do you mean? So, I don't think they on the fantasy level, it's going to be. They've been playing for a run high of the offense, and that's what works for this team. Really, what works is when they're balanced. They're so much more dangerous. We saw that in the first 2 weeks of the season for the Saints. Hopefully, they change their ways into this week, because they're going to need to. When you play against the Chiefs, you mentioned before how they somehow they finally win. They just finally win. Now, so that is on the referee somehow. But it's what they do. And they're not a two-time champion team for no reason. They just managed to come over adversity time and time again. But Patrick Mahomes, you're right. Shooting percentage, not bad, but not as good as he used to be. In four games, he's only thrown for 900 yards. He has a touchdown to interception ratio of 6 to 5 interceptions. Terrible by Mahomes standards. And honestly, people are not paying attention to how bad he actually is playing. If you watch how this offense works, it's not the same like it used to be. And they're limited because they don't have all the playmakers. They lost to H.C. Rice last week. That's a huge loss. We don't know for how long we'll get back. But now you're seeing them supplement Travis Kelce once again as being that receiver type player. And they don't get weaponry. They lost Hollywood Brown. So they're back more until later, like over halfway through the season. So with all the, I don't think they're a true 4-0 team. They're just not that caliber like they used to be a year ago, 2 years ago. They're a much different team. Now, the Saints, they're a team that is kind of their own worst enemy. Putting that playbook back up again, that's what made this team, like, they were on fire for a couple of weeks because they were throwing the ball and running. Something to such a one-hit offense. Getting back to what worked well. So, for Saints, these are two teams that are coming to this matchup where Chiefs may be struggling offensively, but at the same time, the Saints are doing the same exact thing. It's almost like they're buying down to their opponents, and they're just kind of keeping games close. And in the end, they end, well, not the Chiefs, but in the end, they lost away. Both teams are going to be in this matchup. This is a hell of a game, to be honest with you. The Chiefs defense, too. They were seen as one of the, you know, gems of the NFL. The defense was tenacious. It was after you. It was aggressive. The Saints have that same mentality. They like to put pressure on the quarterback. They like to stop the run. So I feel like both these teams are very similar to each other in coaching. They're very similar to each other in the way they've been playing. So that's what's going to match up. in that game.
All right, so yeah, looking at it again, it's tough, but the way, you know, it is the Chiefs. They do find a way to win a lot of different times, but I also am a strong believer in the fact that if you keep hanging on to these close victories here and you're playing poorly and things like that, it's going to get you one of these times. Luck can only take you so far. If this was happening and they were completely healthy, you're saying they're going to turn it around. Like, okay, we just got to turn it around and we're good. But the fact that they don't have Isaiah Pacheco there, I mean, Steele looks really good for them, but I mean, you know, it's not like the dynamic, you know, ability, you know, that they have if they had both of them, you know. And then again, you got, you know, Mecole Hardman at wide receiver, things like that. And Patrick Mahomes is playing poorly right now. So I think this is one of those games to where this is a team, I think, that has the capability to beat them and kind of, shock them into it and get that one of those losses. Because, again, it's Kansas City due for one of those losses, and I think it's one of these teams here that I think defensively they can get it done here. And offensively, I think they've got enough to contend with Chris Jones and Nick Bolton and things like that. That's where they can get the ball moving here, especially if they get Alvin Kamara in, like you said, with the running game, but then also get him out in some passing routes, you know, mix them up a little bit here. So I'm going to go with the Saints.
They're all right, Joe. They're not even running with Steele anymore, honestly. Mm-hmm. They're going with Kareem Hunt, who they just recently acquired.
He looks pretty good.
Instead, like, that's definitely going to give them a little bit of a boost. But, again, I'll say this. Carr, I would say if Clint Kubiak could be where I feel like the Saints are just going to get. I like the Saints in this matchup. I think enough to beat the Chiefs. Kind of coattailing off of what you said, you're right. One of these, I feel like this is a great opportunity that they never really play some each other very well. I see some in terms of plays that are made by both teams.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody, that's our show for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I know it was a little tough here with doing both streams at the same time, mixing Blindside Blitz with the Football on the No Show. So we appreciate you guys who have joined in. I'm sorry if we didn't get to some of your comments, but it was a little rough trying to run both streams at the same time and two different chat boxes too and trying to get them open. So I apologize if we didn't get to you. But if you can, please make sure you guys go to our Football on the No page and Football on the No Show on YouTube. Hit the like button or the, hit the like button, just like in Facebook, but hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, let you know whenever we go live here. Join our Facebook group and then like the group, become a member there. And then also with the Blindside Blitz, it's easy right there. There's the barcode. I seriously put a barcode right here. That's why we're live the whole time here. So I forgive everybody that is listening to the audio version. There isn't a barcode for you there, but if you're watching the video, barcode, scan the code, brings you to Grumblings Media. It could give you all your content here that they have, articles, political, sports, entertainment, everything you need in one spot. But then also for you audio guys out there, Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora as well. Anywhere you get your podcast, check us out there. Like us, subscribe, and thank you so much for the support. And we will see you guys next week, hopefully with two separate shows.